So let's take Jeremiah chapter 10 and read from verse 6. We are going to read all the way to verse 16. Now let's declare his glory. One, two, let's go. It's not like you, O Lord. You are great and your name is mighty.
Who will not fear you, O King of the nations?
Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. They are all together stupid and foolish. In their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Ophir. The work of a craftsman and of the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, that there's no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like this, for the maker of all is he, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
The Lord is magnified in your life.
Amen.
The Lord is magnified in his church.
Amen.
The Lord is magnified in this nation.
Amen.
All over the world, the name of the Lord Jesus is magnified.
Amen.
And is glorified.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We come before him this morning with our hearts open to receive from him. Amen. I will declare as follows. And the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now everything you have said, you will receive.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In fact, you have received it already.
Amen.
Everybody say, I have received it already.
I have received it already.
I have understanding.
I have understanding.
I have insight.
I have insight.
I have wisdom.
I have wisdom.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Take your seats. All right, the Lord is good. Good morning. It's a beautiful morning, amen?
Amen.
It's a beautiful morning. And it's a beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is the day the Lord has made. And the way God blesses us is to give us his word. He sent his word and healed them. This word coming this morning, we bring healing for everyone paying attention to it.
Amen.
Remember, it's not free. Is it free? We pay something, right?
Yes.
What do we pay?
Attention.
That's it. It's interesting. That's one thing God finds hard to get from people. To pay attention. Now, when I say pay attention now, you pay attention to everything that is said with the intent of, you know, he said he has ordained his precepts that we should keep them how?
Diligently.
That was the word I'm looking for, diligently. What does it mean to pay attention? It means to look so closely that is everything that's being said, you are looking for how it applies to you. What is it saying to me? I hope you're getting my point. That is what it means to pay attention. Many people go to church to mark the register. So when they want to pray, they can say to God, I went. I hope you're getting my point. But that is not what brings blessing. You know what brings the blessing? That you are paying attention the way like now. If you, it happened because Of course, I know in this area, so you can understand my own attitude. If somebody says, okay, this medicine was prescribed for me, and I look at it, or maybe I'm the one that prescribed it for somebody, or I say, somebody buy this. Now, they bring the pack. Now, if you buy real good quality medicine, the instruction manual inside is almost like a textbook. If I when I was, those are when I first left school, and we started a house job. So one of the things we're supposed to have are manuals for even doctors, for they have different ones. So it's just supposed to be around in the clinics, in the world, so that, not everything's in your head. These days, it's not a problem because we all have smart devices. But imagine 20-something years ago. This was about 31 years ago. So imagine, we didn't have those things. I remember one of my seniors, he said it's not a problem. They'll just get a file and just pull out every medicine packet, pull out the instruction, the manual. That file is why we have everything we need. That's how detailed those things are. They have everything. They will draw chemistry diagrams for you. Yeah, the structure, the full structure of the stuff inside. Now they go to a point, they will tell you what it is used for, indications, then contraindications, that it thinks you must not use, anybody with this condition must not use this medicine. They say, if you have ulcers, don't use this. They will let you know. They will list it, and they always add, anyone that's reacting or has reacted to any of the components, they also add that one. Don't use it. Then they go to another level. They'll tell you about interactions. It's so detailed that, trust me, patients can't even understand it. They'll tell you about interactions, which means that this medicine is medicine ABC. If you are taking XYZ, you have to adjust the dose of this one downwards by 50% or double it, because this one, they will tell you all the interactions. Now, this is why I'm talking about it. Now, when I'm reading, maybe the medicine I'm not very familiar with, when I'm reading it, I read everything because somebody is about to take it. Because most of us, when do we believe medicine should be taken? In relation to meals. Food, when do we think it should be taken? It's not for every medicine. There are drugs that will tell you clearly, this must not be, it must be at least 2 hours after the last meal, or at least 1 hour before the next one. They'll tell you this one does not like food in your stomach. All of us just assumes everything you swallow after a meal. No. Some of them, they fatten your food. The oil will spoil the thing. They write it there in black and white. Please, so. Now, for those of you who don't know, a lot of these anti-malarials we use these days, they are like that. They don't like food. But people don't know it. They still say, go and eat first before you swallow it. You don't read. Now, that is the problem. People know they agree read. You just assume. Now, most of the ones that we use these days, they are like that. Go and read it. They will let you know, please, this should not go. Some of them don't take away you are taking milk. They are messing that shouldn't see milk in your stomach, because the calcium will spoil everything. People don't know these things, though. Just go, just swallow everything, just drink medicine. You took it, I took it. And because most of them, for many of us, they are over-the-counter drugs. That is, they are not drugs that require prescription. They are for headache and malaria. So, by our law, you don't need a prescription. So, you are allowed to just think you have malaria and go and buy. So, it is your duty to read. So, people say, take medicine 3 times a day. There's nothing like 3 times a day, actually. There's every 8 hours. So, if you take 12, if you take 8 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon, and 8 at night, you have not done it well. Because you have this long 12 hours in which you took nothing. The way Chinedu is sitting on the edge, I know he has broken all the laws. That's why he's like, are you serious? Now, you see the way all of us are getting interested, okay? I'm used to paint something for you. That's how the word of God is supposed to be. Anytime it is coming, that's how it's supposed to be. What is it saying about my life? What is it saying about when I wake up? What is it saying about when I go to bed? What is it saying about how I use my money? What is it saying about how I treat my neighbor? What is it saying about how I do my work? What is it saying how I relate with my children? What is it saying about how I relate with my wife? What is it saying about how I relate with my husband? What is it saying about how I relate with my country? What is it saying? That is, every time word is coming forth, you are checking it. What is it saying about the person of Jesus Christ in my life? What is it saying? You know, like we said last time, he said, behold the Lamb of God. That's an instruction. We look at it that John said, no, he was saying, behold. You must behold the Lamb of God. You must wake up in the morning and contemplate the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God is an instruction for us every day. It's not just a word that John gave one day. The moment he said to those boys, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. They left him and ran after the Lamb of God. So beholding the Lamb of God is following the Lamb of God. You're supposed to focus on the Lamb. You have to say things about, you have to remind yourself of things about the Lamb of God. That's what it means to pay attention. Not just to pay attention to say that I was there. One day I went to, it was one last chapel in Lagos. I was working in a particular clinic then. So next day I went to work. One of the nurses working with us, she was in that service. So I said to her, how was the service? I didn't see her there, but I think I told her about the service. So she went. So I said, did you go for the service? She said she was there. I said, remember the service till today. Then she was there. Of course, there were thousands of people there. So I said to her, what did the bishop preach? She said, that man is blessed. I said, what did he say? She said, the message was very powerful. I said, what did he say? He said, that man is a blessed man. Oh, I was so blessed. I said, what did he preach now? To my shock, she couldn't remember anything to tell me. So I began to recite some things for her. That the man said this. And he said this. Remember that he said this. And he said this. So looking at me, he said, you must have gone to listen to the tape after. I said, no, I haven't. I intend to get the tape, but I don't have it yet. This was the first working day that I was seeing half. The service was a weekend. He said, no, you must have gone to listen to the message. I said, no. As you were there, so was I there. The difference between you and me is I didn't come to collect prayer. The difference between you and me is I didn't come to attend the service and feel the anointing. I came to hear. And so I couldn't be distracted. So everything that he said, I paid attention. I told you once, in my church in Lagos then, when I met the pastor, I used to book the tape almost every service. So one day I went to book the tape. They said, sorry, the tape recorder was bad. So I looked at the lady in charge. I said, remember her? I can still see her face. Remember her name? I said, what did you say? I said, the tape recorder was bad. So you didn't record? She said, no. I kept quiet. Next Sunday I came. Pastor finished preaching. I want to book tape. She told me the same thing again. That they have not yet written a recorder now. I look at this guy like, are you serious? You're joking. So you know what I did? I went home, brought out my notebook, closed my eyes. From last week's Sunday to this Sunday, I started playing the message back in my head. If I look in my house, I think the notes are still there. I wrote in the diary. Yeah. I wrote 20-something pages on two services. I sat down, started writing. I wrote and wrote everything. I'll close my eyes. What did he say about this? I'll write all the explanations I could remember. When I finished, I had written 20-something pages. In my mind, what is wrong with all of you? You want me to leave, to forget these critical things that are supposed to change somebody's life? The third Sunday, I brought the tape recorder. I went to church. Have they repaired that one? She said, no, please use this one. After service, I collected it back. The following day, I brought it again. And she said, will I give it to them? I said, I would have loved to. Except that it's not mine. I borrowed from my neighbor who happens to be a Muslim. So I said, please, I would have given you people, but it's not my own. It's now borrow. I borrow you to come to church. Because I said, no, now. How can this cocoa, you know, there are some things you hear. One day I went to preach somewhere. That's when I started carrying a recorder around. It has reduced now. Before, anytime I'm going to preach, till now, I always have a recorder in my pocket. Because there are times I finish preaching and like, my God. Even you know, if you're a preacher, you know there are days you feel like you preach well. There are days you preach well, you feel like that now feeling, huh? You didn't preach, you just felt happy. There are days you don't feel you felt preach well. But there's one of those days I went to preach. I did like four services. You know what they call four services? I felt anointed. When I said, man of God, can I have the tapes so I can share with some of my people? We didn't record. What did you say? You didn't record? I started carrying my recorder about. I'm talking about taking the word very seriously. That day in church, they said you didn't record. I said, you didn't record. I went back home and I just sat down. What did he say that day? I found the scriptures. I read it. I began to remember. I kept on writing. Just two services. When I was done with two services, just a normal standard diary. Why I have to emphasize diary because no diary, they write a lot of things here and there. So you have just a little, about two-thirds of what it is what you have to write. And my handwriting is not very big. I wrote a few 20-something pages. I think it should be still somewhere in my house. If I look well, it might still be there. When we're talking about paying attention, if you pay attention to the Word of God, that word will release the power inside it for you. I hope you're getting my point. Even if all the pastor does is just shout, you know, the pastor also just shout. At the end of the 1 hour of service, you're wondering, what did he really say? But you know, actually, it's not possible for a man to shout for 1 hour without saying something. And if really he shouted for 1 hour, you can't remember anything he said. You keep me again. After the third Sunday, you should go somewhere else. Your time is being wasted. The Lord is good. What am I saying? We should pay so much attention to God's word that the power inside it will be released. And why did I start talking about medicine? Just to illustrate for us how we are supposed to pay attention to the word. It's the way we pay attention to medicine. The instruction manual that comes with medicine. So if they say, take it in the morning, you take it in the morning. If you know this is supposed to be just before you sleep, you are careful. But you are looking out for all those things. And that's the attitude with which you should come to church. The Lord is good. All right, let's continue looking at the wisdom of God. I had hoped to finish it last time, but of course, as it happens quite often, we didn't finish it. And we are going to continue today. Where do we start from? A number of scriptures we are going to read. I may pass comments as we go on, but then I'll now begin to speak after we've read quite a number of them. Mark chapter 8, we'll read about 5 verses, the book of Mark chapter 8, from verse 34. Now, please listen to this very carefully. Now, before we read, let me remind us of some things I said last time. Very important. Very, very important. We have said this again and again when we read from Deuteronomy chapter 4, that what marks us out as Christians is not the result in our lives. What marks us out as the people of God is what? The wisdom. And what's our wisdom? That we adhere to the commandments, to the statutes, to the ordinances, to the instructions that he gave. That is the mark of Christianity. Please, I can't say this enough. You are disgracing Jesus if every time you analyze situations in your nation, you sound just like an unbeliever. You are a disgrace to the Lord. Just look back over your life. The last election, the last economic crisis, the current economic crisis, all the things that have been happening. How did you sound? Did you sound, you sit down with unbelievers, you're analyzing life. And nobody can say to you, you're different. Something's wrong. Something is absolutely wrong. To the glory of God, all right? Father God, I give you the glory. I just want to use it to illustrate something for my brethren. One brother came once for our program here, and he gave me a testimony. He was in Abuja. Now we're in Enugu. He lives in Nasarawa. He went to Abuja to go and buy something. So he heard somebody talk. The person was talking, it was a car dealer's shop. The person was talking to the owner of the shop. So he looked at the person. Either he or the person looked at him. There were two men who met there. So there was something he said. The other person looked at him and said, hey, you, do you listen to Pastor Banky? Why? He was just having a conversation with a business person. And a statement that was made, the other fellow said, come, that statement you made now, where did you get it from? So the one looked at him and said, you know him? He said, yes, I do. He brought out his phone and just opened to his, his music app. And showed the guy that what was playing before he came, before he stopped it. And they hugged each other and they started sharing the word and they became friends. Why am I telling the story? It was because of what he heard somebody say. Let's leave that one out. Another testimony, one of our brothers here. The man he works for now, he works for the man for a long time. Well, he was representing his company on a particular project that this man was doing. His company was financing it. It was a finance company. And so one day they were talking, and he told the young man told the big man, rich businessman, that he wants to leave the company where he's working, but he can't leave yet. The man said, why not? He said, because right now they are passing through things. Things are not good with the company. It's not a good time to leave. So he wants to stay, see the little he can contribute to help the company stabilize. That when the company is now doing well, he will now leave and go and pursue the other things he wants to do. The older man was shocked. Wait. What did you just say to me? So you have, now that was his own value system. He said, so you have young men who think like this? After interacting with the young man again and again, he asked himself, who's teaching this man? That somebody must be teaching you. This is not normal. So he called him and said, who's your pastor? Because he's a Christian too. He said, who's your pastor? I attend one ministry, Kingdom God Ministries, Pastor Banky, he teaches. So the day he and I met somewhere, he came to speak, I came to speak. So they introduced me. It turned out that we're sitting next to each other. So he said, oh, you are Pastor Banky. He took my hand and shook it hard. He said, I met one of the young men you taught. Please, like I said, I'm not trying to make myself sound too like the... No, what I'm bringing out is that what marked those people out was they just speak. And the talk was different. The talk was just different. That look, what's your own value system like? Where did you get it from? That is what is supposed to mark us out as Christians. Everybody is talking. You just say something. Now listen, it doesn't mean they will agree with you. There's something David Paulson said. He was quoting somebody, or was it the one that said it anyway? He said that in the world, he was talking about living as salt and the light of the nation. He said, unbelievers won't like you. The world will not like you, but they sure will respect you. He said, you know where the church is losing respect? Looking for the world to like them. Listen, you may not like fundamental Islam. Neither do I. Okay, so that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to say that they're the best things happening in the world. That's not it. But you will notice something. The rubbish they bring to church, nobody takes it to them. Nobody goes to an imam and demands they should wear the man and the man. All this gay rights, it's only when they see Christians. When they see Muslims, they don't talk about it. You can't even talk women rights. You're talking about gay rights. They don't even talk about it. You know why? The church started it. They tried to accommodate everybody. David Paulson explained it that, listen, you are not supposed to try to accommodate everybody. You are supposed to set a standard. Stick with the standard from the word of God, not arbitrarily. When you have set that standard and you're stuck with it, let those who want to join, join. The church grows faster when it is different. The true church. Because those who are looking for direction, they know where to look. They know where to look. But when the church decides that let's, you know, when you're in Rome, you do like the Romans. You blend everything with the Romans. Then we misunderstand what Paul was saying. Let me explain. There are some things that are not important. Those are the ones Paul said that I become all things to all men. What does it mean? If you go to maybe a land where they are predominantly Muslim. Now listen to me. Think about it. If their public holiday, weekly holiday is Friday, there's nothing wrong with having services on Friday. Sunday is not of God. It's just our... I hope you get my point. I'm not saying it's against God though. But Sunday is not the day of the Lord. It's just our culture. If you're in a land where they are predominantly Jewish, so their weekend holiday is on Saturdays, have your church services on Saturday because everybody will be free. It's not because some say, oh, yeah, I can't be home on Sunday. Listen, you can be home on Sunday. There's nothing special about Sunday. Why you can't be home on Sunday is simply because you have to go and gather with the brethren. And since they are gathering on Sunday, go on Sunday. But if they are gathering on Friday, you can be home on Sunday and gather on Friday. That's what Paul was talking about. One day in Sokoto, Pastor Courage and I were coming. I was traveling, so we went to the airport together. So one young woman came to greet him. And we looked at her. So I told him that the way she's dressed is not good. He agreed. He called her to the side and talked to her. Now, if you saw this girl's dressing, you wouldn't think anything of it.
Except that in Sokoto, she stood out like a sore thumb. Go to the airport, you see a girl wearing a pair of jeans and a small t-shirt. You say you're a core member and you're working with FAN. I would say they don't do like that. Look at their billboards. Every woman on a billboard in corners, like Sokoto as an example, they wear hijab, they wear a scarf. They're advertising perfume. They throw their hijab around their neck. Or whatever, a scarf, anyway. Well, that's a hijab. Are we making my point? And look, my wife and I have been there before. I was sitting there and said, just watch these girls pass. See all of them looking very beautiful. They wear mostly print, long robes. I hope you're getting my point, because the culture does not allow too much skin to be exposed. I said, but they are looking nice. So we told the young woman, you can't come to Sokoto and be dressing like this. Not because it is a sin, but because you just look like something is wrong with you. You just stand like a sore thumb. I said, you are in Sokoto, please dress so that you just blaze. It's called be wise as serpents. When Jesus talked about serpents, he was talking about camouflage. Just blend in. Just blend it. If I lived there, what you are wear most times, you would probably think I'm a northerner. There's nothing, it's cloth we all wear. That's what he's talking about. I become all things to all men. It doesn't mean when I get there, all the men are married men. I'll legalize gay marriage in my church too. That's not what he was talking about. There are some matters that are weighty. Paul never compromised the testimony of Jesus. He told them that which you worship as unknown, that is what I'm declaring to you. And he gave them the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at when Barack Obama, some people think I don't like him, and they are very right. When he took office the second term, they've got one guy to come and pray, supposed to be a minister. I said, minister of what? Everybody's a minister. I hope you know. Everybody's a minister. I was watching a documentary I was sharing with my wife yesterday. So these guys are ministers of Satan. This guy is obviously a satanic minister, but he pretended to be a gospel minister. He prayed for America, prayed and prayed for the president. So in the name of our common faith, that's how it ended it. Our common faith. Jesus doesn't have a name there again. I looked at Barack Obama and said, Jeroboam. Yeah, they wanted to include everybody. That's not what we're talking about. There is nothing like the name of our common faith. So the church is not supposed to compromise certain standards. Why? It's like you're on a ship. You have a compass. I mean, if you've ever been on the open ocean, there's no direction. It's right during the day. You know, if you are traveling now, I can tell you, listen, when you get to that place, yes, there's this junction. There's an overhead bridge. They take a first turn after that one. That road is just about 100 meters. 100 meters after that, you take another left. I can give you direction like that. One is the ship. As you go straight, you will see 100 kilometers of water in front of you. Then you look left, another 200 kilometers of water. You look behind you, just past 200 kilometers of water. You look to your right, everywhere is water. The horizon, water. Behind, water. The only thing during the day that helps you navigate is your compass. I hope you're getting my point. The compass will tell you are going north. You follow it. But you can tell, okay, if we are going north, we're supposed to go north for 500 kilometers. Before you see, the map is there. But the map is not landmarks. It's compass mark. Do you get what I'm trying to say? The church is the compass of the earth. Now, this is where I'm going. Let us assume somebody says that this compass, I don't know what's wrong with it. If they shake like they just wedge and small like this. It will go off degree just about five degrees. And they give it to you, they don't tell you. Your ship, you just wake up one day, you hear croom as your ship will grind on some rocks and break to pieces. Why? Because one guy did not know that you don't alter the compass. It's the only thing that tells you where to go. That's the only way you navigate life. That's why the church is called the foundation and the support of truth. Look, it's only the church that can tell the world what is wrong and what is right. So we don't negotiate with them concerning truth. We keep the truth there. That's our compass. Then everything is now relative to it. We don't negotiate it. That's why I say to Christians, even if you do what is wrong, let us assume that you are a sinner. You can't help yourself. You just like to sin. When you finish sinning, God will forgive you. I promise you that. You know when he wants to destroy you? When you write a doctrine based on your sin. He will wipe you out, and anybody that names your name, your children will only survive if they deny you. So what kind of rubbish is this one? You've done bad. I'm looking at you, and I'm eager to forgive. People say, hey, this guy is a hypocrite. Let me tell you something about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy has its own good side. Now, please, don't misquote me. You know some wicked people now say they're cutting out. Now, Google allows everybody to cut and put YouTube shorts now. Just say, clip. Pastor Banky says hypocrisy has its good side. What I mean by hypocrisy has its good side is what I mean. Somebody who is a hypocrite in that he does what is wrong, but he preaches what is right. He's better for God than the one that does what is right and preaches what is wrong. The worst, of course, is the one that does what is wrong and preaches what is wrong. That's why Jesus, I can prove what I've said to you from Scripture. It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? He said, listen, you see the Pharisees. What did he say? They sit in the seat of Moses. Therefore, what do you do? Do as they say, but not as they do. What I've told you now, you see, it's based on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not saying be a Pharisee. He's not saying be like them. See, let's look at the order of things. I would rather have a sinner that continues to preach the truth than have a man walking in righteousness that's preaching a lie. Why? Because what you say, we lead many people. Two ways you lead people. First, your teaching. Two, your lifestyle. The worst is the man that leads what is right, wrong, and preaches what is wrong. Now, the one I'm saying God is particularly angry about is when you take his word, throw it away, and use your experience to define doctrine. If I'm sick today, and I've seen people do that nonsense. If I'm sick today and I'm dying, and you've prayed for me and I'm on my deathbed, the last thing I'll tell you is that Jesus heals. I won't tell you he doesn't heal because he didn't heal me. Lie, lie. At the next when I see him, I say, let him say, well done, good and faithful preacher. So Jesus, you know the last thing I said about you? That you're a healing God. He said, how can he? Yowa. That's the correct thing. But Saul will not rewrite it. Healing is not for today. Why? Because we prayed, he didn't answer. So I'm going to say, God never says no. Who says so? He said no in your case. Doesn't mean he's not a healing God. I'm a giving father. Amen?
Amen.
Say amen for me now.
Amen.
Ask these boys. There are many times they've asked for things, they didn't get it. Has it changed the fact that I'm a giving father?
No, sir.
If I was not a giving father, how come they have shirts? They have trousers. They have food. But sometimes they come, I just look at them. My friend, will you go and sit down? I just thought I should ask. It's good you have asked. I thought I should say no. I've said no, so go and sit down. Hasn't changed anything. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
I don't rewrite the scriptures from my experience. I keep the word of God there and try to fit my life to it. If healing doesn't manifest, we ask ourselves why. Why did he say no? Did he not say woe to you? We were quoted yesterday, Bethsaida and Chorazin. Why? Because the great was done here was enough to convert Sodom and Gomorrah. So after that, he said they would not do any great work there again. So it can be where I'm asking for healing from, as an example. Please, as an example. It's a place where God says, I won't heal anybody. So what do I do? Move out of here. Is it a scripture like that? Yes. One man came, wanted to be healed. Jesus said, come. Follow me outside. He followed him outside. He laid hands on him. The man began to see. He said, don't go back there. They will talk you out of your healing. So we don't say because he prayed for the man inside the city, it didn't work. He said, God said, no, I won't do it here. Go outside. So we find out what is wrong. Now, what am I trying to emphasize all of these things? What marks us out? This is our wisdom. This is what distinguishes us as believers. We have the knowledge of God. We have the instructions of the Almighty. We understand the righteousness of God and we walk by it. I said and I'll say it again, even though I've said it more than 10 times in previous times and twice already today. If anytime they're analyzing economy, they're analyzing everything, you sound exactly like the unbeliever, something is wrong with your representation of Jesus Christ. When people think something's wrong with you, be happy. Yes. This guy's opinion is always... Listen, let me tell you something here. One day, the same people will come back to you for help. They will come back. They will come back. They will come back. You were preaching yesterday about the man who's abandoning his flock and everything. You know, I did something that he'll be back. Please, if you could tell him I said so. And that's not a good prophetic word. It's not a night. That's what I've said. When I say he'll be back, he will be back. I don't mean one day we just wake up and say, oh my, no, he will be back. One thing Pastor Courage and I have been talking about is that Christians, and I think it's because that's what God wants about. He wants to start doing. Christians will start experiencing the discipline of the Lord. When I told yesterday he'll be back, I wasn't praying for him. I was feeling sorry for him. I said, he'll be back. You know, there's this attitude we have as if the Jesus we serve, soft and lowly, tender, infant. I don't deal with him like that. I've understood him well. I've understood him very well. When they give you over to Satan, what keeps you away is the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. He ever lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God by him. To hand people over to Satan is very simple. Jesus just stopped talking about their matter before the Father. Satan is still in God's presence, he will get power from. When he puts up the accusations, the person will see war, the type he hasn't seen before. You know what's keeping you? You think because you are strong, you are smart? It's called the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the love of God. And it's called the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That's what's keeping you. If God withdraws that thing for 5 seconds, that's the one that scares me. You will go mad. You think this life is normal? This life is a very terrible place. If God withdraws grace for you for 5 seconds, you will go mental. Sometimes I see people do things. One woman in America just sat down, loaded a gun, and waited for her children to come back from school and killed them one by one. After she had killed like 4 or 5 children, she now took the phone and called the police. Now, if you are police, what will you do? I said, this woman has gone mad. She just finished killing her own children. They are not children as in babies. They could come to school, home from school by themselves. She killed them one by one and called the police. You know what happened? She had gone mad. One Nigerian man, that one, recent story, happened, I think, last year or the year before. She knocked on the door of her home. It was his home where the wife was living with the children. They had left him. Where's mommy? She's in the bathroom. The boys didn't know. The children didn't know. The man walked to the bathroom, shot her in the head, shot her in the chest. I went to the front of the house, sat down, called the police, said, I've killed the bitch. Called them first. I went and sat in front of the house. I was waiting for them. A Nigerian man. Now, the number of Nigerian men that have done it, you can Google it up, is all over the place. Because that society has a way, like my friend would explain. You see a crazy woman in Nigeria, don't carry her to America. She will drive you mad. The society supports her 100%. So sometimes the men get so frustrated. They say, I can't live like this. Not one, not two. There are plenty. God, this is a normal thing. I'm talking about Nigerian men. No, I'm not talking about other countries. Other countries, they play. That is normal thing. They're shooting somebody because you're angry is normal. It's America. There are guns everywhere. So that's what they do. But what I'm talking about is that people say, why? I said, they went mad. Let's leave this thing. The people went crazy. And it can happen anywhere. What keeps you is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Those are the things that keep you. So when they say, hand somebody over to Satan, it is the easiest thing. They don't have to carry the person and toss. It just withdraw intercession. Withdraw petition on the person's behalf. And Jesus said, leave him. Satan will come. When he utters 2 words against you before the judge of the whole earth, you wake up in the morning, you'll be picking your brain from the floor. We are dealing with the Lord that disciplines people. tell Christians they had better warn themselves, because I think they've exhausted his patience. That's why I told you, tell that guy, go and tell him if you are friends enough. He said, I was using your story to talk. Pastor Banky said he will be back. And he was not saying it nicely. Go and pray about it. Just tell him like that. Because he's just going to come and say, where are you? He goes to the place, that Abba, he will go there. Where are you? The man will answer him from somewhere in Australia or somewhere in South Africa. Say, is that where I kept you? Now, I want you to know, all the grace about your life, this is where it is. Once he tells you that, if I were you, I will run. Now, you see, one thing we want to talk about, and this is part of my message for today, is that, see, this life, let's say it the way it is. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and suffers the loss of his soul? I will give up every... Listen, if fulfilling the plan of God for my life, what I will get is 99% plus $10 billion. I will give up $10 billion to get 100%. I'm not satisfied with that one. I don't know where I get my point. You know why? The $10 billion will last us 100 years. Max, let's just make it easy. That 1%, after 10 millennia, you realize there was great loss. I hope I get my point. That 1%, so whatever it will take to get 100, we must give it to it. That's why you've heard me say this so many times. What is the big desire you're tracking? That shouldn't be your issue in life. You know, somebody says all he wants from this life is to be able to buy his own house and have a brand new car. And you're like, that is all? You are a real. I said I won't be using bad words again. You are a real bad word. That's the only thing I can say. So sometimes, because my wife would go home and say, Pastor, why did you say that? I said, what do you want me to say? That's how I felt. That's the spirit inside me. That's the only way it could express itself. Then you look at your whole life. The only thing you want is that you want to buy a car and have a house of your own. God is ashamed that you are naming his name. So it's one of your children. I said, what did you say? So I was talking about the word. I said, Father God in heaven. Is that one of your children? You know, the way the climate is going, this global warming, don't mind it. Father God, I'm not talking about climate. I'm talking about, is it one of your children? I said, what's your problem? I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. That's how ashamed it is for some of us. Now, again, you know, when I say this, you say, Pastor Frank, you know a scripture now. What have I told that's not in the Bible? Jesus said, I will be ashamed of you. Did he say so?
Yes.
There are things that make him ashamed of people. How can you? Hey, somebody sent to this life for a purpose. The only thing you want is to have a car and a house. You know what? Like one brother said, work for me, I'll make it happen for you. And person said he didn't have a car. He was just saying, is that all the vision you have? Just come and work for me. I will make it happen for you. If that's all you want, just come and worship Dangote. Worship for $10. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. With all of this is going on this earth, you now tell God, the only thing I want is a house. God says, have back. Go and meet a foolish man. He'll give it to you. He will give it to you. He doesn't meet a man that doesn't have sense. He'll give it to you. They give it to girlfriends every day. Let me tell you the kind of things I pray. So that God, if it's okay, it's supposed to be between us, but you made me a teacher of the word. So the kind of things I pray for. Number one, everything that God wrote concerning me, I must fulfill. That's number one. I don't want this one particular sentence I did not finish writing. Which sin did I commit? Okay, forgive me now. Number two, Lord, I don't want to talk like common people. I want to have understanding. Daniel got on his knees to pray. And an angel showed up. He said, I've come to give you skill and understanding. No, let me explain. Oh, I don't know whether you are catching what I'm saying. See, let me tell you something there. If a woman has a big stomach and she's crying from one end of the room to another and she's jumping up and down, and you see one man there wearing white and one woman wearing white and they are smiling. Why are they smiling? They have skill and understanding. They know she's in labor. We will handle her. She goes soon born. Like Jesus said, you will know that another man has been born into the earth. She will forget. They don't panic. Why don't they panic? They have skill and understanding. In fact, there's a part of the story that made me laugh. When my sister-in-law was in labor. So we're in the clinic he went to, my colleague that runs it. So he and I started, we're not talking about issues. And he's a man of God. He's a reverend. We're just talking about academics, talking about work, talking about Nigeria. And we're hearing shouts, inside. We're just talking like nothing happened. So the young woman's mother was looking at the two of us like. She thought, this man is unconcerned. The man was not unconcerned. He knew there was no problem. So at the point in time, he said, let me go and see what's happening. I said, why? He said, I can't hear any shout. I'm serious. He said, everywhere is quiet. Why is it quiet? So the man got up, left me, went in there to go and be sure. I came back. We continued our story. Meanwhile, the mother was on the floor. Hey, Kayaba, father. Both of us were men of God. We didn't call father. He said, father, you have done it. We're just relaxed. I'm trying to tell you what they call what? Skill and understanding. So imagine that Daniel was in Nigeria. He said, dollar is losing value. We didn't concern Daniel. Daniel that has seen the kingdom that will come. He has seen the kingdom that will come after. Daniel that will tell you how long this president will last, how long the APC will last, how long this one will not last. Daniel that knew everything. That's the brother, let us pray. Pray about what? Listen, I have only one prayer point now. That the people of God will be restored to their inheritance. Leave this thing. That's the only prayer point the man had. That the people of God will be restored to their inheritance. Daniel had no other prayer point. He had time to be jumping up and saying, now in the name of God, we'll call him the car. We'll call him global warming. Say, what is warming about the globe? The myths and the patients are coming. The globe temperature won't change that. This earth will be here until the Ancient of Ages will mount his throne and he will sit and pass judgment. Until that, this earth will be here. Every time I get into CNN, this thing, news, they throw in one news for us, I laugh. Say, this is the hottest February on record. I say, so? Okay, so what do you want to do now? They say, because we are burning fossil fuel. I say, stop telling lies. You don't know why. Your iniquity hits the earth more than your motor car. One man committing adultery can hit this earth more than 10 coal fire stations. You lie one lie, the sun will just say, hey! When the sun opens his eyes in shock, everywhere will heat up. What are you talking about? I saw one joke the other day, very funny joke. Very, very funny. Oh, one young man, he calls his father. None of you will do it to me in Jesus' name. Look at my boys. Called his father. They say we should buy a handout in school. But the father said, how much? So Satan just came to the boy and said, you know the handout is 2,000. But tell your father it's 5,000 so that you can get some money. That was Satan. Then the boy said, it's 25,000, daddy. That's not the joke. The joke was that Satan just fell down. Bam! Satan's eye popped open like, what? Says 25,000 and we have to buy it today. Satan will look at the boy like, what did you just say? It's the kind of thing you do, the sun will open the head. That's what's heating up the globe. I'm talking about Daniel. Daniel is all the noise you're moving up, and Daniel says, I beg all of you, relax. After this kingdom, another one will come. I saw this kingdom. The one that's coming next is charging like a goat. So fast the feet or the legs are not touching the ground. What is that? That's the Greek Empire. They are coming. After that, the Romans will come. After that, you are going to see the Ancient of Days. The Son of God is going to come. And they will establish the kingdom that will never have an end. What are you talking about? So anytime you keep Daniel awake at night because somebody is threatening a coup or somebody is threatening a change of government in Sudan, or those places, Mali and all of that, it's called skill and what? Understanding. That's what I pray to God for. It's something I've been telling God. Say, I'm so sorry. I've been so busy. But I just believe that there's a particular matter. I won't tell you about what now. So you won't get addressing me that. What did he say? I said, God, I know I need time. a day, two, three, a week of meditation, and I will know what is going on. I just don't have any doubt in my heart. It's called skill and understanding. These are the things we pray for. Another thing I pray for. I said, Lord, my children will possess the land. Yes, I know when I say my children, you know what that means?
Yes.
I told you before, I have two sets. But all of them, most importantly, is that they are people who adhere to the word of God. I said, Lord, this word will make them possess the land.
Amen.
Those are the kind of things we pray for. Someone will come and tell me that the only thing he wants in life is to buy a car. Of all things I have said, I will give up every car I have, every naira I have, every currency, whatever it is, every clause I have. If God says that's what I need to give up to get these other things. We'll get there again today. Paul said, I counted everything as dung. Because there is a kind of knowledge that he said is excellent above all else. And we talked about it last time. What I think you're supposed to know, you have to know Christ in three levels. The person of Jesus. The promises of God, all of them encapsulated inside one word, Christ. And three, the precepts of God that activate those premises. These are the three things you need to know. These are the three things you need to know. I went to all of this, okay, trying to emphasize something, please, people of God. But I've not emphasized it enough. What makes us different as believers is the precepts we live by, the word we walk by. And I said your values cannot be like that of the world. And you say you are representing Jesus Christ properly. You are not. You must have a different set of values. There are things you will say. And it will just look on everything. You know the food you eat, the clothes you wear, how you spend your money, where you go, where you don't go, what you do with your time. The people will just listen and say, why are you saying what they are saying? Hallelujah. The Lord is good. So let's continue. That was supposed to be like a kind of reminding. You know, I said you should open somewhere, right? And I've not read it. Okay, so let's start preaching. Mark chapter 8. Okay, let me read from 31 just for this, so that we can get one particular thought into it. Verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man, that is his disciples, after Peter said, which is so interesting, all right? One moment, the Father revealed something to Peter. Next moment, Satan was speaking through Peter. That's the real confession in life, you know that. God just has to help you. Don't follow people, follow the word of God. I hope you get my point. Don't say because Pastor Banky blessed you for all these years, whatever he's doing next year must be correct. The moment you start smelling Igbo around me, just pot. Be praying for me, but don't follow anything that I say that's under the influence of Igbo. Because some people, they yield to God one moment. The next moment, they are yielding to other spirits. And this is a very painful part. You know, my issue has been with pastors, okay? Because they are the major issue that it's true that God blesses people and blesses the nation. The painful part is that I've seen it a lot. Pastors will preach one powerful message. Next time, they bring Satan to the pulpit. And people are following them in following Satan. Like you hear things like, if you don't have this amount of money saved up, you are begging for disaster. Have you heard that kind of thing from pulpit before?
Yes.
It's Satan speaking. It's not God. That's Satan talking. And pastors have amplified Satan from their pulpits. I've heard people come to church. And as they are talking, I say, can't you see this guy has drunk of the spirit of Satan? You come to church and be dividing the body. Before you marry a brother that's from this particular area, you have to pray extra. People from there are not good people. And you're on the pulpit. You are speaking for Satan. And anybody can do it. Listen, this was Peter. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Everybody spoke up and down. Finally, somebody said, and Peter spoke up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Honestly, you should go and start a church. revelation from the Father ministries. And everybody will go, why? This man hears from the Father. You're not getting what I'm saying? Peter should start a church and call it what? The revelation from the Father ministries. And everybody should go down and go and hear Peter. Except that after his inaugural service, Satan has taken over. Satan will man the pulpit. Nobody is going to the cross here. Nobody is going to the cross here. Nothing bad will happen to you, Jesus Christ. And by that time, Peter, I'll get that congregation, they are now listening to who? Satan. Please follow Jesus Christ too. Don't follow human beings. Don't follow me. That's why you must have a Bible. You can't have my messages alone. You should have a Bible. You should. Now, there are preachers who say you should listen to only them. Even if I said it, why preaching only me? I will have mentioned so many other people that curiosity will make you go and listen to. It always amazes me when preachers don't mention anybody that blesses them. I say, yeah, you try. There's nobody that listens to me that would not have heard the names of at least 10 different preachers who they can go and look for their materials. It's not possible. Just listen to me long. Is it? I don't need to tell you about anything. It will amaze many people that I didn't go to his Bible school formally. But you want to know the truth? I know I will sound proud, but forgive me. There's nothing they are teaching there that I did not learn from the man himself. I'm not saying that it's not about pride, I know everything. No. Because before the Bible school came to Nigeria, we had read all the books and listened to all the people that went there and came back. I don't know whether you're getting my point. We followed the man bumper to bumper, and we looked for other bumpers that were following him and followed them too. Some people say, when I got there, the spirit transferred into me. There's no problem. We'll come to you, and the spirit will transfer into us too. Now, the same spirit. We read the man's books in and out. We used him to argue. Then we put his messages, then we'll gather around it and listen. Abba. That's what we did. You heard me mention Derek Green so much. If you have not listened to him by yourself now, by now you should know you're a stubborn person. Should I mention the person? No, I don't need to. You've heard him from my name. Is it John G. Lake I start talking about? I've mentioned even Watchman Nee. There are books I read only once, some authors, only one of their books I read. But you see here, you hear names like Graham Fitzpatrick from my mouth. One day I told one of my friends, you've heard of Donald G. And you're like, what? You know, in my mind, I thought everybody knew Donald G. It was when I mentioned Donald G, I realized that he's not a common name. How did I know Donald G? Kenneth Hagin was preaching, he mentioned Donald G. I walked into a shop, I saw Donald G. So what do you think I did? I bought Donald G. You heard me talk about Oswald J. Smith, Oswald Chambers. These are books I've read and I have. Nobody's an island of knowledge. If you go there, I know pastors, I won't mention their name. I know one. I wonder what that. Sometimes I look at his photo. I say, is this man still serving God? I don't know. His people will say that this is the only man you should listen to. For one day, I saw one of my guys in their church. He said, let us pray. Let's assume the guy's name is Pastor Joe. All right? So let us pray. Let's pray that everybody in this world will listen only to Pastor Joe. And they will discard every other source of information and they will not listen to any other person but Pastor Joe. Let's begin to pray. That's why I said, some of these tongues. They are not spoken by God. They are not spoken by the Holy Spirit. They are spoken either by an evil spirit or by a human spirit. I'm not kidding. So me, I didn't even think about it. I just said, hey, see my guy. I took a video of him. I was watching it on TV. So I quickly did a video. And I forwarded to some of our other guys who were all, you know, guys in common. What does that mean? But you know what I mean. Mutual friends. Okay, mutual guys. All right, good. Thank you. So anyway, no, I like that one I just said, guys in common. So, the new one, right? Very nice sounding, very poetic. So even me, I was still excited. I said, see my guy, because it was an international TV. So my guy posted it back to me, said, did you hear what he said? I clicked and played. Now, I was on that video though, but I was so busy videoing, I didn't hear the prayer point. So I clicked and played. Yeah. So let's begin to pray. That everybody, everywhere, we discard every source of information and listen to our pastor alone. If they said that, if you listen to that pastor again, you get a problem. Fair with the one? I'm not listening to you. You know, there's this kind of thing I'll just do so as to show to God I'm loyal to him. I said, Lord, I won't listen to this man for 6 months. I don't care what he said. I'll pack every other person and listen to them for 6 months. Because it may be that you have already entered my head. I'm not thinking again. The Lord is good. Please, love God more than a man of God. What did I say?
Love God more than a man of God.
Let me say it again. Please, love God more than you love a man of God. Please, how do you love God more than a man of God? Pray that God will give you understanding. Read the scriptures. Have a Bible. And listen to many men of God. Balance the truths out. Many people that you hear me quote, those of you, of course, you hear me talk here sometimes, but if you, amongst us when we're having conversations, you'll be amazed at how much I disagree with some things they say. I remember once I went to church. The pastor then preached some very powerful things. Everybody was like, hey, 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 hey. Me, I was so disturbed. I came to work. I had a colleague, also a pastor. I just told him, I said, well, we need to see you. What's up? I said, we need to talk. So he finally came to my office. I was in Lagos that time. I said, sit down. He sat. I showed him the things that I heard last time I went to this particular church. I went to a weird church. And he's a man I love. Love him very much, till now. I showed him the things that the man said. And I began to give him scriptures on why I disagree. I just wanted him to give me his opinion. I said, please, analyze this. You know, I told you I was going for this program. He said, yes. I said, look at what this man said. Look at what he said. He said, these are four things. I said, but this is not what the Bible says. I quoted it for him. I said, please, my brother, I want you to put him out. Like we say, okay, if you are listening from America, you don't know what it means. I want you to look into this matter and offer your opinion. But let's use Nigeria. I want you to put him out in this matter. So he looked at it, and both of us agreed. I said, so you think I'm right? He said, yes, of course. He showed me the script, other scriptures, joined to what I'm saying. And I said, thank you very much. I just want to be sure my head was correct. I still went back there. Don't think I didn't go back, because there's nobody you're going to agree with 100%. So that small percentage, in fact, I was telling my children the other day, I said, I'll give you these messages. I said, please listen to this man. You will learn a lot. I said, but let me just warn you ahead of time. When he starts talking about money, close your ears. I said, please, when he starts talking about money, close your ears. There are preachers I listen to, when they start talking about Jew, I just close my ear. I said, they've come again. They want to turn me to a Jew. I will not become a Jew. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to worship any Jew. I'm going to worship Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite every Jew to come and join me worshiping Christ. Leave me. Yet I won't depart from following those men. Once one man was preaching and I was laughing in my house. I was laughing. My wife said, please, why are you listening to him? I said, hey, sweetheart, don't be angry. Because the man will abuse black people. You know, he abused black people. He said, Donald Trump is racist. Forget that. If you see a racist man, this guy was racist and he was on the race. He wasn't even, look. He wasn't missing words about it at all. He was openly racist. Said that president is, he abused the president full of crap. How can they say that black and white are the same thing? Said black people that were living in the dark ages until, he said, go to Africa full of diseases, nonsense continent. The man abused black people. And this was a black man with his messages in Nigeria listening. And I was roaring with laughter. He will abuse us again. I will laugh and laugh. I told my wife, come on here. He said, you are primitive. The man said, you are primitive. And then I did just laugh. So after I went, my wife said, my husband, please, why are you listening to this? Why are you listening to this man? That was what she actually asked me. I said, sweetheart, he knows some things nobody I've listened to knows. He was the first person that first taught me what it meant to wait upon the Lord. Analyze the Hebrew. The guy was a master of Hebrew and Greek. When he broke down the Hebrew, he gave it four or five different words for the word wait. I showed the one that Isaiah used. That those of wait, he said, wait is the same word they use for manufacturing of thread. To make thread, you take one strand and weave another one around it. So what does it mean to wait on the Lord? It means to weave yourself around God for the reason of strength. When he finished describing it, then it suddenly makes sense. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When the man explained, I said, I told my wife, the man wrote a book on how to rest in God. I've never seen a book like it. How to use the word of God like weapons. He was a military man. So when he handles Ephesians chapter 6, he's like a soldier. He'll talk about military formation. Everything in the Bible for him is from a military perspective. To him, the best thing to be in this world is to be a military man. He doesn't believe any other thing. Any other thing you are doing just to assist military work. So I told my wife, I said, no now. I said, it won't be right for us to live through this earth. And this man has this kind of revelation and we didn't collect our portion. One day I traveled somewhere. Pastor Corey was with me. Some people were selling books. So I picked a particular man's book. So I paid for it. So he was surprised. He said, you read that man? I said, not really. I've not read him before. He said, well, so are you buying the book? I said, if we get to heaven now, there are some things we did not know. And God is inside that book. How do we explain? I said, let me read his life first. Let me just read something he said. When I've tacked my own portion of his anointing, I can go. I don't go vex. So. See, abuse me in a message. It doesn't bother me. Maybe you want to share revelation. Say, how many of you have heard Pastor Banky? The guy has cocoyam head. You'd be surprised that I will laugh. So all these black people from Nigeria who think that they know the word of God, nonsense people, I will burst into laughter. Do you know, just keep on winding it until you start sharing. Yeah. No, that's how I am. I connect it. I grab it. As I listen. Because you see, there's what the Bible calls every joint supplies. There is a supply for me that's in your mouth. You won't use offense to collect it and go away. One of my friends once, he had issues, you know, and that's recommended to his wife that they should listen to this set of messages. You know what he said to me? He said because he has a South Texas drawl in his, you know, the way they talk. He said he has it, so my husband can't stand it. I said, why? He said, because we lived with them. Those guys are bad Christians. They are Nigerians. They moved to Texas. He said, no, that their hypocrisy gets to my husband. So they love you. They say, oh, welcome to church. But their hearts, they don't love you. And I wanted him to listen to messages I felt would help his faith. And she said, don't bother. My husband will not. That's what offenses do. They so offended him, he said, I can't listen to them. Definitely can remove that voice. But God has helped me, I don't care. Just don't be saying things that are not good, like Jesus Christ is... he's not an Anglican. He's only a Catholic. He's not a Catholic. He's a Methodist. Those kind of things, I don't want you to say that. If you want to abuse me, abuse me. Just don't abuse the doctrine. I'm sure what I'm saying, though. If you see anybody that wants to preach nonsense, say, just go there. Where is this our bro? Where's bro with bicycle? It's on the other side. Uh-huh. One day he came and met me. Say, one particular prophetess was talking about me. He said that what you are doing is not good. I said, huh? He told me some things that prophetess said. I said, please go and tell the prophetess that she should be prophesying and she let me teach. Okay? That's the only thing I said. I didn't get angry. I said, is she a teacher? No. She should prophesy now. Why is she dabbling into preaching? Teaching. I said, leave this job for us. Let's share it. You are prophesying. You know, there are things that people would not get. It didn't get me emotionally involved. I at least knew prophetess didn't like me, so what is the issue? He said, what you are doing is not good. What she is doing, is it good? I'm doing my bad thing, you are doing your bad thing. Do you follow what I'm going to say? All of us are doing our bad thing. And I leave me, I beg. No, the funny part, is it the way you're laughing? That was all the reaction he got out of me. Go and ask him, he's in the other hall. I said, just go and tell her that Pastor Banky said, please keep prophesying and he will keep teaching. Let's share this work. Think I have time for getting angry with you. Over what? When I know what I'm saying. You're the one that does not know what I'm saying. Me, I know what I'm saying. Please, I'm begging you for your own Christian life's sake. Don't let any pastor take hold of you and say you can't listen to anybody else. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Nobody has a monopoly of this revelation. Nobody does. Peter was preaching and preaching. He's writing letters and doing apostolic work. He now wrote in his letters. He said, what I'm telling you is exactly what Brother Paul said. We're not in disagreement. Just that his own... in his own letter, some things are too hard to understand. He didn't say they are wrong. He said they are hard. He said those who don't know, they just twist it to their own destruction. Basically, he recommended Paul. That's what he did. And if you know the way those guys used to do those days, alright? Those letters were circulated. That's how come it's scripture for us now. When they are writing, they need to go far. Even when John was writing, you know John said something, you notice again and again. He that has an ear, let him hear what? To the churches. He didn't say to the church. He that has an ear should read what the Spirit is saying to all the churches. So if you're a member of the church in Laodicea, you will take and read what he said to the church in Ephesus. Because you can solve the Laodicean problem and go into the Ephesian problem. You will read what he said to the church in Smyrna. Because you don't want to solve the Laodicean and the Ephesian problem and enter into the Smyrna problem. You will read what he said to the church in Philadelphia. Because you don't want to solve all the other problems and get into the Philadelphian problem. Or you solve all of that, then this church, the problem of Sardis is now your portion. So they expected letters to circulate. They expected letters to circulate. So what John wrote was read by the people in Ephesus, the people in Colossae, the people in Rome. People did not write to. They needed to get their doctrines right. The book, the Roman letter, the Hebrew letter, every Christian read them. That was why they compiled them and called them for us the New Testament. Then one little guy, one little fellow, born in the year 1975 or 1980, he now says you should listen to only him. You should ask him, oh boy, are you not too small? Which leads to only you. Peter couldn't say that. Paul couldn't say it. John couldn't say it. James couldn't say it. You. See, this black guy from Nigeria, so we'll listen to only you. Why? Because you feel anointed. So I won't listen to only you. By the way, I will still listen to you. I will still listen to you, but I won't listen to only you. When pastors feel threatened, if they see a book in the hand of their member that they did not write. People are bold, though. No, there's a kind of boldness I don't have. So I said, didn't work in there, reading a book by Billy Akoni. Or what's the name of our brother from Port Harcourt, Jackson? Pastor Jackson wrote a book. And didn't work is reading it, and I'm angry. I'm looking like he's not a lawyer. He's not a lawyer. Biko, lawyer to who? He's not, and you, you know, so let me explain that those thoughts can enter your head. It shows you need prayer. No, man of God, if those thoughts can enter your head, you need to be prayed for. I'm not saying you did anything, no. A thought just passed through your head that, or maybe I enter your car now, and then you are listening to a message, and I don't recognize the voice. And I say, is that me? He said, no, sir, it's not you. Who might that be? I don't recognize the voice. I'm like, eh, in my mind. So these boys are listening to other preachers apart from me. If that thought enters my head, I need deliverance. If that thought enters my head, I need to be delivered. Now, listen, there are people you will listen to, I will tell you, hey, you are listening to a blasphemer. I hope you get my point. Yes, there are people that if I hear you play their message once, I will say, come here, come here. When did you give your life to Satan? Well, you know the one that said the other day that somebody said Jesus went to the cross because he did not tithe. He died young. Sorry, not the cross. He said Jesus, he was not a tither, so he died young. I like the way you reacted. You said, let him be accursed. Yeah, that whoever prays that kind of thing. That you can think Jesus has a problem. It's a sign that you are demon possessed. Absolutely. Those areas, I won't, anything you say, no matter how good, I reject it. Even if it's good, I'll go and listen to somebody else, from somebody else. There's another man of God, that guy really makes me laugh. People are following him, people are interested, yeah. See, there are people I follow just like I follow in Daboski. That's all. Because I know the man has powers he has not yet used. I mean, you know, they said the other day, Nine Daboski Provoko. He said, if you call him a comedian, you're an idiot. Even that comment was funny. I like Ndaboski. I do. Some people don't know why I like him. Okay, in case you are wondering, why do you like him? Because he doesn't deceive anybody. He says it the way it is. He said, what powers do you use? He has never said the power of the Holy Spirit. He has never said it. He has told us the ones he's currently using and the ones lined up. It's the reason why I like him. These powers, he has never touched them. He has never used them. He's still in Daboski. So why are you angry? I'm not angry. If I don't want Daboski power, I go to look for Holy Ghost power. Is that not so?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's no fight. There are people I only follow like that, even though they are, like the man who came and said that, he said, John said, the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he was talking about Jesus Christ. He said, John was not seeing properly. He said, I was not seeing well. He said, because you're an elder and you're in the spirit, doesn't mean your eyes clear. He said, John said, Jesus is the lion of the tribe. He said, how can he see Jesus as a lion? Is he blind? He said, Jesus is a lamb. It's not a lion. I said, okay, sir. I put your Ndaboski in the same category. What are the other revelations he gave us? He has a number of them. He has many. I've heard people say things like, it's the same person that people are praying about election. Say, election does not concern God. That you don't use, that election doesn't concern us. Just leave it. Anybody that wins, wins. Doesn't concern God. Just doesn't care who becomes president. Oh, is this the same person that said you don't confess sin? You don't pray in the name of Jesus. So how do you pray? I'm not here for the... Christ is in you. So, okay, once you pray, it's Christ. Christ has prayed. All right. Another revelation. I always wonder when people say these things, do they read the scriptures? Why am I saying so? So there are people who preach funny things. And if I catch you with one of them, I'll just ask, what are you doing? I will say, yes, yeah. No, you don't have that time yet. I will tell you, leave this thing, go and listen to serious things. And I won't mince words about it. Who are you listening to? This one? He's going to lead you astray. He's going to tell you that there's nothing wrong with you as you are. You don't need to improve your life. You don't need to improve your moral lifestyle. You don't have to improve anything. Why? Christ is in you. And I keep on saying, who taught you that? Is it not Paul? So Paul seems to have forgotten all these things when he started telling you, therefore don't walk the way the Gentiles used to walk. Is that he forgot? But beyond, apart from that, no. You don't follow only one man. God has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And one man, there's no single human being that occupies all those positions. All of this I said because I wanted to read something, right? We should do camp meeting so that we just preach until we are tired. Not so that you are preaching, you are looking at the time. I like that kind of, we'll just start one day by 7:30 in the morning. And we'll preach until, I will give you biliar cornea anointing that day. So let's continue reading. Where are we? So I started from 27. I was talking about Peter, right? So Peter said, so Jesus asked in verse 27, who do people say that I am? And they told him this and that and that. And then in verse 29,
Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." Of course, another Bible will tell you, that's another book will tell you, the Son of the Living God. And he warned them, in that other one, he said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now in verse 31, he began to teach them, because now they had some revelation now, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days must rise again. And he was stating this matter plainly, just openly, teaching them clearly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, say, "Ah, I want to spoil everything." But Jesus, turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's," that is the interest of man. Now, why did I read this? I only read all of this to bring us to this point of we took some time to comment on the other things. But please, this is very important. What you set your mind on. You're not setting your mind on God's interest, he said, but man's interest. Now, please bear that in mind. Now, but the main reason we are reading this now, you know, initially when we start from verse 34. So that's where I am now. And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, that is the sake of the gospel, will save it." Now, why are we even trying to save our lives anyway? He said, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world?" That is, saving your life is talking about gaining something. I hope you're getting my point. It's talking about gaining prosperity. It's about gaining safety. It's about gaining, you know, long life. That's what he was saying. It's the things people run up and down these days looking for. If you were here yesterday when Pastor Dami was leading us in our Bible discussion, please, if you are not around physically, try and log in even by Kingdom Word Radio and get involved. Just get, those discussions are very good. You know, people contribute, people ask questions. They are good. So he told us the story of a man who is attending to, or he was attending to. So, and every time you go to see the man will tell him that, "Listen, you are living in a very useless country. And that I'm 70 years old, right? That I saw the war. The war. Let me not go in that direction. And I saw Nigeria under the British. And I see Nigeria now. And I can assure him this country is not going anywhere. And I saw your children. Beautiful children." That's how they catch people. Start hyping your children for you. Say, "You want to condemn these children to this experience?" So the man said to him, "Say, sir, I'm here to take care of you. Let me tell you some of the impacts we make with our lives. From here down, how many kilometers? Maybe like 100 kilometers. Say, I'm the only physiotherapist around. So if I'm doing what you are saying, who will take care of you?" The man said, "Leave us, let us die. If your eye causes you to stumble, what do you do?" So he said to the man, "I'm not coming back here to take care of you. I'm tired of hearing this." See, because the man has been doing it for a long time. He wouldn't stop. So though the man flat, "I am not coming back. I've heard enough of it. Since you are..." Now, he didn't say this. I'm the one adding this one now. "Since you are willing to die, cuckoo die. If my presence will save your life, forget it. I'm going to leave you to die. As for your 4 children, Abi, that you have exported, let them come and take care of you. I'm not coming back here." Every time Satan wants to talk to you, he talks about your interest. He never talks about the interest of God. He never does. Do you know, when you were talking yesterday, narrating the story, I said this is exactly what Naomi said to Ruth and Orpah. It's exactly. He just described there's no future for you. An Orpah head, and we never heard of her again. But Ruth refused. And she said, "Your God will be my God." And God said, "No problem. I will take care of you." You know the funny thing? Ruth had a future. Naturally speaking, God married her off to a very rich man. Yeah, that's what happened to her.
She married Boaz. But most importantly, spiritually, listen to this. Most importantly, spiritually, she contributed to the eternal plan of God. She participated in the eternal plan of God. The plan of God required Jesus to come. You know, Jesus said something. Sacrifice and offerings you have not required. He said, but what? A body you have what? Prepared for me. I pray you understand that. That thing was not a joke. The preparation of that body required God to kill off everybody on the earth at a time so that the lineage of Noah would not be contaminated. He did not want the genes of Noah mixing with that of the giants for any reason. So wiped everybody out. To preserve that body, it required, now you don't know who God is. Oh, forget this nice God we are painting on CNN. All right? The real God, you should be afraid of him. I'm going to use a word that we don't use for God. I use to describe him because it's perfect, but just I know it's a nice word. He's ruthless. God is, it can be ruthless. You know what I mean to be ruthless? To crush everything in your path to get to your goal. No matter whose ox is God, you don't care. This is my goal. If I meet you on that path, you're gone. There's one movie we watched those days. War movie, you know. These guys were traveling to a site for an operation. They didn't know they spy. One guy was locked somewhere inside their boat. So they caught him anyway. He was pretending like he didn't understand English. Didn't know what they were saying. So there was a guy there. I think he's maybe a lieutenant or so. So he told the sergeant, after I made the deliberation, he said, shoot the boy. And there was a senior person to him, like a captain. I don't know whether he was directly in command, but he was there. He was trying to argue why, no, they can't do that. The guy said, I said, shoot the boy. He said, but the captain, if the captain gets in your way, shoot him too. That's what the captain realized, that this guy is not joking. He's a special ops person. And he said, shoot the boy. As far as he's concerned, he's a spy. He's here to wreck our operation. He said, if the captain gets in your way, shoot him too. And it was an order. That's what it means to be ruthless. Let me tell you something about God. In preserving a body for Jesus Christ, millions died. He wiped out the whole earth, apart from Noah and his family. They were clean, genetically. Anybody, see, one day when I was young, when I was much younger, there was a fight in the church. And one man took it upon himself to oppose this man. They call him evangelist. He was the one heading the small ministry. My parents attended, my mom especially. I was not home, but if I was there, I went with them. So this church was, they said the fight was hot. So one day I came and said, how with this man? His name just escaped me now. I wasn't going to tell you the name anyway. My mother said, you didn't hear? I said, no, that he's dead. I said, what happened to him? He said he wanted to light a lamp in his house. And the thing exploded and burnt him. And they took him to hospital. After some days, he got tetanus and he died. And my mother said, fighting these men of God is dangerous. I said, what happened? That there was a big fight in that church. That man led it against that man, the evangelist. And God said, look, I won't take this nonsense. I'm going to give you a warning, just one. So he set him on fire. Apparently, he didn't understand. So he told God, take him out. So they gave him tetanus and he died. Why? The man bringing the truth to the environment is one you're opposing. See, he was a preacher of truth. It's not about I'm anointed. That's not the issue. I'm a man of God. You can't touch me. No. God said, hey, wait, let me explain something to you. This is where I'm feeding truth from. To you people through. Nobody stands in my way. Nobody. Can be very ruthless. People, we don't preach God. Let me tell you the truth. If you preach God, people will be afraid of him. They will be afraid. When I say afraid, they won't want to offend him. They wouldn't want to offend him for what? Because he will so kill you. And Jesus said, after killing you, he was sent into hell. So he said, please, if anybody is threatening you, see soldier carry gun, say, don't be afraid of that one. There's nothing he will do. The worst he can do is kill the flesh. Be afraid to offend God. A body you have prepared. Everybody that opposed him. One man wanted to defile his wife, not knowing that it was his wife. God entered the house. His name was Abimelech, Abraham's wife. God entered his house and said, you're a good man normally, Abimelech. You're a good man. But what you are crossing, you don't understand. This area, the area you are moving into, you don't get it too. Abimelech said, but he said it's his sister. I said, but it's his wife. He said, I did not know. He said, that's why I bothered to tell you. The other guy that I tried it before, we won't write it in the Bible, so these people will not know about it. I killed him. You, I've seen your good works. You're not normally a bad man. So you have just 24 hours. Go and make amends. By that time, there was already trouble in his household. So give me my girl. Give me back to Abraham. Now Abraham called her sister, but God didn't care. That's what I mean. God can be ruthless. I have a goal. See, let me tell you how to bless yourself in life. Identify the purpose of God and run with it. Whatever direction is facing, face it too. Look, listen. If you have to trek in that direction, trek. If you have to go hungry in that direction, go hungry. But please never oppose the direction he's facing. Never. He will so crush you, he will turn you to powder. There's nothing I've said to you that's not scriptural. He said, whoever this stone is a rock of offense. Whoever stone runs against it will be what? Broken. Now, whoever the stone now falls upon will be pulverized, will be turned to powder, will be pulverized. I'm not the one that said this scripture. A small aside to show you how Ruth became blessed. Ruth, God said, good girl, put her as part of the fulfillment of my eternal plan. The plan for which I wipe out millions. Let's put her name in the record. Very few women were listed when they are talking about the genealogy of Jesus Christ. She was one of them. This was a woman that Naomi tried to persuade. Look out for your own interest. Let me tell you something. Let me be practical about it. People have come and say, no, I have a reputation. I didn't even know how I got a reputation. They say, Pastor Bank does not like people going abroad. Me? Who cares where you go? It's not true. You heard me wrongly. One of my brothers, daddy told me, look, they're about to post him abroad in his mission. And I prayed for him. What I have just said again and again, which is what I'm saying again, you can't live your life as if you were born for comfort. That's all I have been saying. You cannot live your life as if you were born for comfort. That's all I have been saying. I've never said any other thing. I've just said that, look, ask yourself, what am I living for? What purpose am I supposed to serve? The one I was telling him, I said he'll be back. If you were here yesterday, talked about a brother who, this is the kind of work he was doing. He would pick boys on the street, introduce them to the gospel of Jesus. He will raise them up, train them until they stop being street boys. They are now church boys. And the church grew to a particular number. I don't know exactly how many did you say. Did you give okay. Then of course, maybe there's no food. I mean, like in abundance. There's no motor car. He's 40, has not laid foundation for his house. So he said, no, he's leaving and going to North America. So he asked him, what will happen to your ministry? What did he say? He didn't give an answer. He didn't care. That's what I'm complaining about. What will happen to your ministry? He didn't care. There's one brother, I assume he's a Christian, I'm not so certain, but let me not quote as a Christian, but this is what really happened. He's a doctor. Owned a private hospital somewhere in southern Nigeria. I'm not very sure whether it's Lagos or Edo Delta Axis. I'm not sure anymore. And then he told one of our brothers, he had, I think, about total of something between 10 and 15 people working for him or more. He had other doctors. It was quite a thriving clinic. He had nurses. He had, of course, you know the way it is. It's a hospital, so you need doctors, nurses, other medical staff and all of that. He had quite a number working. So he said he's leaving. And the brother asked him, so it was, either he was going to sell or shut down the place. But I knew he was going to shut down the place. So he said to him, what about the people that work for you? And he said, I am not their God. And God said, as you have said in my hearing, so I will do to you. I will make sure in this life, you will never be in a position that you can be a blessing to people. That's how God responds. That's what I complain to people about. So it doesn't matter to you that you're going to throw about 20 people out of work all of a sudden. It does not matter to you. You know, I told the Christians, you have to reason differently. The first time I went for a training there in the U.S., and they told me that. People say, thank you, are you sure you're going to come back? And I was like, what kind of fun? Do you really know me at all? I don't think you do. First, even if I didn't want to come back, let me tell you something about me. I have a friend, He lives abroad now, all right? He and I were reason alike in many areas, maybe not every area. But we had one thing in common. He used to say, number one, people go abroad, they go with visiting visa, which is what I had, and you won't come back. I was like, how do you manage that? So even if I wasn't going to come back, why do you insult me by thinking I will take a visiting visa and not show back at home? Am I mad? My friend said, I didn't even know I was planning to go abroad. But he used to say, you are giving me a visa, you are giving my wife, you are giving my children. He wasn't even married at that time. He said, go away. He said, no. And truly, the day he left, we escorted him. Then he had two children and his wife. And all of them boarded the same flight and left Nigeria. He said, no, say, Banky, you know me, I can't leave my wife behind. So that was was the first thing that he insulted me about in people's mind. Like, I felt like, what kind of thing is this? I tell you, it's a visiting visa. I'm going for a course. I'll be back. They even stamped, the Americans, what they do. It was my first visa. So they wrote it clearly. He's going there to this place to go and attend this course. He's going to be there for, the course is for 30 days. Of course, I'm allowed to go before then and after. All right? They wrote it in black and white, stamped it on my visa, the reason why I'm traveling. And I said, now listen to this. I said, but you know I have a ministry because Kingdom Word had started that time. One brother laughed. He said, thank you. There's ministry in America. Reverend Yinka has a friend who has that attitude. There's ministry in America. I want to see the ministry is doing, I laugh. I will talk. You pastors are bold, sha. Let me just tell you something. You know, James warns about something, that if they are volunteering for ministry, don't volunteer. Because it has a certain level of demand. What I cannot understand are pastors who claim they are called and they abandon the flock. I've seen pastors do it. This guy that says he's his friend. The young man visa, he didn't come back. And he had a thriving church. The kind of church that he will come for service, at least 100 people. And they gave you ordinary business visa. Let me tell you the truth. In this life, please have small pride. Do you get my point? Small godly pride. You know, just say that, God don't bless me past like this now. They give you visiting visa. If I want to go anywhere, if you give me visiting visa, I shall visit and go back home. If I want to move to your country, I'll walk to the embassy and say, please, I need an immigrant visa. I will tell you I need a work permit. I'm not dodging for anybody. I can't be sleeping when they say, coco, I'm wondering, have they come? I've heard of people that, this really happened. My wife gave me the gist. And if you are listening to me and you are like this, please, I command you in the name of the Lord, board the next plane and go back home. Don't be an idiot. Yeah, I have to say, I told you, I'm not afraid of you. Let me just tell you something. If you are doing what I'm about to say and you're a Christian, shame on you, and God will make the shame manifest. It's not a curse, it's a warning. You see what I want to say? Do you know people will allow their wives marry other people? That is, a man, his wife goes abroad, so she won't come back home. They will arrange for her to marry somebody. you are daring Jesus Christ. You don't want him to come to your house. And he said, I should tell you he's coming. Do you know, I realize my left leg is shaking. I didn't realize that's God's anger that manifested. What nonsense. They say it's not real marriage. Are you a fool? You went and took an oath before the government authority because you want to live in a country. It's obvious you don't believe God is one that blesses people. It is obvious. You have no fear of God. I heard the story of one brother. I just want to hear some of these things. This one I'm telling you, preacher. He went to America. So he will stay. He marries somebody else. And because the person he marries is an important person, he had to live in her house and go to church. No, think about this now. I come to church. I'm sitting with sister, let me look for her name, Amanda, just an American name. And then my wife is sitting at the back and watching us in front. Don't you know, Paul said there's a kind of thing that even unbelievers, they shame to do. You know, my knee is still shaking. And it's not hunger. I'm feeling the spirit. What is wrong with you? Are you so shameless? Can't you even see that God is blessing your colleagues where you are running away from? Are you a fool? I mean, I don't get it. You know, I just don't understand. Why can't you just trek into eternity? What is wrong with staying in a small three-bedroom house as long as you pay the rent until Jesus comes? Of course, the marriage finally broke down. Of course. The one I'm telling you is the one that my wife talked about, in which a woman got a phone call. Don't go back to that house because I think they arrested the husband or something. They had arrested the husband, immigration. And they had deported the man. Of course, they had put him in the deportation camp. So they quickly called her, don't go home, because they were there to arrest her too. There's only one problem. The children, they took the children to foster homes. Father, back in Nigeria, mother hiding from one place to another, finally had to marry a white man, so that they wouldn't deport her. By the time she got her daughter back, the girl had been molested and hated her parents from the bottom of her heart. Are you mad? I don't get it. For what? You know, my head is almost busting thinking about it. For what? Come, we'll give you a job. We'll give you a house. We'll give you food. Sign, you know, when you hear some things, like that your friend, that said, you abandoned a church that God gave you. People you are ministering to every day, you now go there. Immigration is locking you up. Please, when we want to suffer, let's suffer for the gospel's sake. Let's hear that you went to preach somewhere, they beheaded you. We'll take your body and bury it with honor. We'll use it to pray. Still have been using Deborah to pray. Because they killed the girl on the campus in Sokoto. We have used her to prophesy. And when the blood of the saint is shed like that, she died confessing Christ. That blood never goes in vain. That land has just been claimed for Jesus Christ. We've claimed that campus. We have put pulpits there. We've invited the rulers to come. They will come. They will come. When we want to suffer, please now, let's suffer properly. Lack of food is not a big deal. What is the issue? I don't know. When I see Christians or something like that, so are you planning to go to heaven? I don't think so. No, you're not planning to. You are not planning. Because if you were planning, you'd be afraid to face Jesus Christ. And let me give you another word by the Spirit. Jesus said, I'm coming for every single one of you. You'll be treating me anyhow. I didn't come for you all this way because I have not raised enough prophets to warn you. Now I have raised. If I see any one of you issue his wife to another person to sign paper for permit, you will get the permit too, but the kind of suffering you will see, you will hate the permit. If you want to go to a country, talk to me. That's what God is saying. Talk to me. We will talk about it. If I want you to go, I will let you go. You will go with honor and dignity. I told my friend, I said, no, you are not giving me a visa, I'm not giving my wife. He said, like a joke, like a joke, like a joke. He just kept on saying. Then finally, the day he was leaving, we packed him, his wife, and his children, and waved bye-bye to them. I never swept gutter one day. Always held a position of honor. What's all of this? Christians, please, stop insulting Jesus. He's tired of it. Unbelievers use you. How did I get into that? People were saying that whether I will come back. I mean, on visiting visa. Must be out of your mind. The lady that gave me the visa, when she was talking, because I told you when I went, because I've told the story many times. You've heard the story countless times. When they say, put money in your account, I said, for what? I don't have money. You don't know the kind of person that God made me to be. I said, I don't have money. So I said, leave it. My account had a less total was 100,000 naira. At that time, that was less than $1,000. The woman looked at me like, what is this? I said, it's my account. She said, there's no money inside it. I said, eh? I said, is it? I told her, I'm not lying. These people that come here to be packing money in their account to give it, I want to impress you. I told her, I said, I could have put money in to impress you. I said, but what's the point? Just came to show you so that's where I work. She was looking at me like this. I said, I didn't come here to impress anybody. In my mind, if you don't want to give me the visa, let me go to my house. Do you know how my wife is waiting? I'm missing her already. Just 24 hours to come for a visa. I'm ready. My body's already doing like this. It's true now. The other day, I saw some emails. My wife and I had seen that period. Hot messages, X-rated. Hot. Oh, I said, Pastor Banky, you wrote this one. I quickly closed it. Hot messages. Solomon read it and blushed. Solomon. One day, when my wife was, I think it was Akilu or Gwenga that was born that time. So, I think it was Gwenga. One of these children she was born. So, her mom was in high in hospital. So, her phone rang, you know. And I said, text message, you know. So, you know, she just gave birth now, you know, everybody's helping with her. So, her mother was with her. So, you have a text message, it says from her husband. My wife just said, mommy, don't read it. Because no matter, just open and say, look at what he said. He said, don't read it. Yeah, what is it now? He said, mommy, it's from my husband. Please don't read it. You don't understand. Don't read it. He just told her mother, you don't want to read it. Trust me, mommy, you don't want to read this thing. No. If you read what my husband, you won't know he preaches. So. I'm a very romantic man. Romantic to high heavens. It's because of people like us, they invented words like atmosphere for miracles. I'm not joking. I'll forward those mails back to you. Eh? Okay, yesterday. No, let me tell them by myself now. You know, yesterday was International Women's Day. So now I just remember. There were two songs by one crazy guy. I just called my wife, come. She came. She did not put the music on my phone. So I just wear this. I put on my ear, my wireless, this in her ears. I just place it. Yeah, I told her, sit down. I said, close your eyes. The next thing she heard, girl, you're my angel. You're my darling angel. That was the next thing she heard. International Wives Day. Now I do yesterday. I'm not doing International. Some of you think, say, all that I do is preach and shout. I do other things you don't want to hear about. She just sat down there and heard the song. I said, yes. You know, I didn't even know that. It was when I cleaned my face later. Now I see red something on my. I realized that when she said, and so I collect lipstick. When I was there, I was trying to wipe my face. I said, why is this handkerchief turning red? I said, my wife came and defiled it. If you know what I mean. The Lord is good. No, I'm just saying something. See, please, brethren, let's have some godly pride. I mean, have too much respect for your wife and your husband. For you to be signing stupid documents because you want to stay in one country. That place is not heaven, no. Your time, Neku. It's not heaven. It's earth. It's just earth. Jesus will still come and destroy everywhere. And he's going to ask you what you did. He's going to ask you. Why did I go to today's message here? Try and put it in order because why did I go to all of that? Because people ask me something like, are you going to come back? And they gave me a visiting visa. You're asking me whether I will come back. You're asking me whether I will come back. It's a visiting visa. Just trust me. But most importantly, which is why I'm telling the story. What came to my mind when I got to the institution where I was working, and they told me they had 100 pathologists in one institution, and the whole of Nigeria at that time did not have 50. I told the secretary of the department, I'm going home. My conscience couldn't let me do otherwise. Now, there was no chance of me to do otherwise. But even then, I said, What? I said, no, now. I can't take from where we have so little and give to you guys that have it in abundance. There's a way Christians reason, very, very different. I don't even know why I got into that again. But I went on that to let us understand something. God is going to ask all of us questions. He will ask. God is going to ask all of us questions. When he puts us in that, Jesus, I wanted to say, and of course, that's who we are talking about. When he puts you somewhere, just understand that you are going to answer. When he's going to come and ask you, where are you? And he's going to where he kept you. That's what he's going to ask. The place where he kept you is where he will go to ask, where are you? Let's continue reading. He said to them, verse 34, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospels will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now, please notice something here. Whoever wishes to save his life, what are we doing every day? We want to save our lives. Like that man was telling you, he was describing what your future will be like in this country. What is there for your children? If you were with us, when Pastor Corey was preaching last Monday to ministers, Pastor Corey believes one thing, and he got it by revelation. He said, the greatest safety for my children, humanly speaking, is my presence. So he said, they are not leaving my presence. So all the crises in the north, he keeps them in his house. People say, send them to Lagos. We'll take care of them. He said, no, you can't be their father. That's his rule. Please, go and listen to that. I told you, try and get that message. It should still be online. Please, just check it online. Lord Reverend Ministry, it was streamed last Monday. Yes, Monday by 5 o'clock. Please listen to the message, especially if you're a preacher. Listen to the message. Listen to it. Now, let me say another thing before I continue with what he said. You have to live life in such a manner that it shows that you believe God. You can't be saying you are making plans for your children and you are neglecting the plan of God for your life. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
You can't do that. You can't say you are making plans for your children and what you are doing is neglecting the plan of God for your life. Listen, you must circumcise those children. Circumcise is a spiritual word. When Moses did not circumcise his son, he almost died for it. He's the one that died. When we say we are Christians, that's the message I'm trying to preach. Jesus said you must take up your cross if you want to follow him. What does it mean to take up your cross? The cross was the place of death. Who are the people who carried crosses in the days of Jesus? Who can tell me? No, I don't want the word criminals, really. What marked them out? If you're carrying a cross, you are going to die, man of God, thank you. You're on your way to death. They didn't carry cross to go to church. They didn't carry cross for a photo shoot. I hope you get my point. They were not acting movies with crosses. If anybody carried a cross, he was going to die. What was Jesus saying? If you want to follow me, sign up for death. That is true Christianity. That's a Christianity that has power. That is a Christianity that has power. What does it mean to die? Simply, It means give up on your own life now and leave God to take care of the rest. Many of us, our Christianity is not worth anything because we have not taken that cross. He didn't say commit suicide. He said what? Just take the cross. We will kill you when we want to. I hope you get my point. Yeah, that was just what I was saying. The time of your execution, I will decide. You only just carry the cross and then start following me. What does it mean to carry the cross? Forgo your own ambition. Forget all these stories of what will now happen. What if? God, you know, I've told you before, long-term plans, they have no meaning. You can make them, but just know ahead of time that they have no meaning. Make them because you don't have any other thing to do. Or somebody has lied to you, motivational speakers. And I've told you about motivational speakers. In this generation, they are one of the worst liars. Yes, they can lie. Like somebody said, they can lie for Africa. Somebody said, I'm 26 years old. I made my first million before I was 20. And now my turnover is 200 million naira every month. I can't remember exactly what he said, but something like that. He said, what am I? The person said, you're a motivational speaker. They're just lying to us. They tell you how to prepare for your future. Now wash. It's a lie. Then they play. How to lay up treasure on the earth is a lie. You know the truth? It doesn't even work. Forget whether we are Christians or not. It does not even work. I've told you, don't make any long-term plan. God will take care of the long-term. All your plans must be for effectiveness in the season you are in now. If you're a student, your plans must be get good grades, be faithful in school. Of course, as you are living and developing as a true believer. I hope you're getting my point. If you are going for NYC, plan to be a good core member. When it's time to apply for work, then take that one next. You know the truth? Your Heavenly Father has prepared what you will do next. I pray we understand. You cannot plan enough for God. You can't. The Heavenly Father has prepared. Many of us, all we do every day is walk out of the plan He made. That's what we do. With our own scheme and our own smartness, we walk away from His plans. And I told you, He's coming. You'll be back. That's the message I have this generation. You will be back. You see, all this one, you can be laughing at Pastor Banky. You will be back. Now, this is not an insult. So this is not a threat. And it's not a matter of personal pride. Nobody laughs at me and goes scot-free. I like the silence I got there. Nobody. When I say laugh now, I'm not talking about laughing at me personally. When I'm preaching the word, you mock at the things I'm preaching. You can never go free. It's not, look, listen, let me explain something to you. God says something. I watch over my word. He's the one defending it. It's not me. Do I know you? You are listening to me from somewhere far. You are there talking nonsense. The mistake you made was tuning him today. You shouldn't have. You should not have. This one was raised up for the rising and falling of many. There's nothing I'm saying that leaving anybody the same way it made them. Some people are saying that this is your pastor, is very funny. Don't worry now. You're laughing at me now. You will cry for me. You're going to have a cry for me. Yes, sir. You're the one in trouble. You're crying. You'll be remembering the things I said. It's not about me. Don't think it's me. I don't even know you. But I'm issuing forth words by the Spirit. Don't laugh. Don't mock. These are things you don't understand. Just be silent. Just be silent. Just be silent. I know what I'm saying. How can somebody? No, everybody, you must plan. Hey, nigga, your pastor doesn't even know what he's saying. Don't worry. See, there are words you utter. God has to prove a point to you. A man has to get up. If everyone helps those who help themselves. Like my son put it on his status. He said, where did you sit in the Bible? Who are those that heaven helps? Those who can't help themselves. My help comes from where? From the Lord. There's one that Christians say, your pastor is talking like this because God has settled him. Please, if you're a Christian, don't ever repeat that statement in your heart. I've told you about the ruthlessness of God. And if you say it in your heart, don't repeat it outside. Do not. Now, please listen to me clearly. This is not about me. I don't know you. You know, I really don't care. You know me from the beginning. I have never believed in popular ministry. Never. I have never wanted to be a popular pastor. Never. The people I admire the most, they are not well known in the world. I hope you get what I'm saying. Why am I saying what I'm saying? Because the Lord speaks by me. The Spirit of God is upon me. He utters His word to this generation through my words. Don't ever oppose it in the hearing of anybody. Otherwise, He will judge you. One of the worst things people have done to themselves, which I feel sorry for them. You mount yourself as an obstruction between what I am saying and those who want to hear it. God doesn't joke with it. Now, you know, I don't know you. I don't know you. You are somewhere far away. You are. Just shut up. Don't go to the house of those you heard listening to come and prove me wrong. God will make them realize you were wrong. That you were wrong. I know what I'm... See, please, I pray you will get the point that this is not personal. It is not personal. If you don't know the truth, just leave it. Just tell your friends, eh? You and your pastor, you know yourself, they go. Don't sit down and start showing them. You know why? Because all the plans you made for your future, eh? Listen to me, it will fail in front of those your friends. And they'll just be laughing at you. They'll be pinching each other. And you won't remember. They'll be saying, hey, you know what? I don't know. No, I put my money. Bitcoin. Bitcoin was going up that time. But now, Bitcoin has gone down. And then I put my money as my car, as collateral. Now I lost my car. They will pinch each other. They say, sorry, oh. I don't know how you guys can help. Nabe, find 20K. You find 20K. They will give you. When you leave, they close the door. They will burst into laughter. Say, Mr. Planner. See where the plan has taken him to. He will make matters. You see, I've invested in land. Then government will bring bulldozer and construct road. The road they were not planning before. But because you invested in land, and God wants to show them that your name is Jonah, you just wake the governor up. Peter, the governor will say, yes, my lord. Say, why don't you just make a road? Just make a road here to help you win re-election. Ah, no, there's nothing politician wants to hear more than re-election. The man will bring bulldozer, clear up. So about the compensation, say, no, I pay to the community. That's when you realize that, listen, you didn't have any... And you know, I told you, God changes the past. You quickly rewind the past and invalidate all your papers. They look at your friends and say, my plan. Then they will pinch each other. Then one of those your friends now say that, follow us, want to go and check the house we just bought. Ah, you bought a house. And one man said that... We needed to get, so we wanted to get, then, you know, we just went to the bank, they gave us some money, they said we could go to the mortgage bank, and they will put down some money, sha? Anyway, sha? And you're like, I thought you guys were not, no, we're not, look at my wife, did we do anything? No, it was just God that just, God will rearrange. At the end of the day, they will look at you, say, this is the house of the fool. And your life, they are describing. And you know one thing you committed? You stood in the front, in the presence of the people of God, and said, Even if God was to make windows in heaven, can these things happen? You oppose the knowledge of His truth as we're sharing it to people. Like I said, nothing personal. Don't think it's about my pride. What is my pride? Because I think of people, the only job they have. I told you I have one brother. I call his God the God of the mountains. Because he will speak faith. They will ask you, when he wants to give testimony, you know, in Europe where we are, God is so good. God has infiltrated the power sector. Power does not go off. God puts me in a house that is comfortable. God is doing it. God. Then he will now look at you. Are you in that country? How are you surviving there? What are people doing? That your country is Father's household. So I said to my wife, there I see him, I'm going to tell him to his face, your God is a God of the mountains. He's not the God of the valleys. This is in the Bible, you know the story. Israel went to fight their enemies.
He says that their God is the God of the mountains, not the God of the valley. I feel sorry for Christians who just go around like that, opposing the truth. As I talked about him. Every time opposing the truth of God. Calling people and telling, do you realize that God locates people in places? Oh, let me try. As Christians, we are not called to try to preserve our lives. That's what I'm making. We don't judge our success. I told my brother when this, please, let's pray against backsliding and complacency. In which we know a man who's doing well by whether he has bought a house or, or bought a car. It's not a sign of the man who's doing well. It's not. No matter how the houses you have, the cars you have, it's not a sign you are doing well. It's not. So don't even use it. God can fulfill your desires. Amen. It's not a sign you are doing well. That's all I'm trying to say. Are you doing well? You're not doing well. We want to know what is it that God has committed into your hands. And how much are you succeeding in doing it? This is supposed to be a message for next week. I don't know why I keep on talking. Like, because the reason I'm trying to get to us is that Christianity means denying yourself. Let me emphasize that because I'm watching my time. It's really gone now. Christianity means what?
Denying yourself.
Say it again.
Christianity means denying yourself.
Yes, that's what it means. It means denying yourself. Listen, if you want to walk with God and be effective in your walk with God, you have to understand that denying yourself is what it is about. Satan's job is don't deny yourself. Satan's job is, look at this anointing, use it to give yourself food. Satan's job is to let you know that, look, what your mates are achieving, you too, you must achieve it. Anybody that's giving you that kind of advice, and I tell you that's what a lot of people are doing now, preachers. Once they give that kind of advice, just know that they have started working for Satan. Like yesterday, we studied. We saw that people work for Satan. And at the end of our study, pity we had to rush that portion. I really wish we didn't. Because a lot of people are working for Satan every day. And we studied that, please, let's not work for Satan because we took some time out to look at the activities, how Satan works. A lot of people these days are working for Satan. How does Satan work? Different ways. But one of them is to come and tell you, take care of you. Worry about your future. That's what Satan does. He come and pull you out of ministry. You reminded us yesterday of that story that I heard one brother shared. I went to preach somewhere. And he shared a story of a young woman. Now, listen, I need to tell that story because it's the best way to illustrate what we're reading here. This young woman was called by God. See, everybody has a calling. God doesn't save you first and start saying that, what do I do with you? As soon as he's saving you, he's realigning you to the original purpose for your life. I hope you're getting my point. It is not this, and it is in everyone. He expects us to be accountable. It's not only for preachers; it's for everybody. I hope you know. Marriage is also a calling. When I say calling now, you are supposed to marry that person and help that person. And if you are not married, you are praying about your husband or wife. Put that in mind. Say, God, who am I supposed to work with? This unbelieving mentality of who will take care of me that some women have. No church woman is supposed to allow have that mentality. Who will take care of me? No, I'm not looking for who to take care of. We have a job to do. Who am I supposed to work with? That is the assignment. I hope you get my point. And that is the mentality. Who am I supposed to work with? Like I say all the time, just thinking the right thoughts is more than, I used to say half, but it's more than half of the road to doing the right thing. Just asking the right questions, having the right prayer points. Everybody has a call. This young woman, I'll tell you the story to illustrate this. She was trained, as a nurse. I didn't want to give details, but let's just say it. And the course of her work, she was employed in a rural hospital by a mission agency. And God said, good, start a Bible study. And he started a Bible study. And the thing began to grow. You should know things that God blessed. And don't kill it. It began to grow. The work was growing. It became a church. She had to rush to the brothers, please, I need somebody to be coming. So the brothers were taking turns coming to preach. She was persecuted for righteousness' sake. She went to cell. Because the policeman there, DPO, was feeling very powerful for her daring to convert his wife.
That's how to suffer. Not suffer because they say go back home. Your visa has expired. You don't want to go. They now lock you up. That's suffering for foolishness' sake. They're suffering for righteousness' sake. These girls suffer for righteousness' sake. And you know what happened? You know the story. I've told it here many times. Satan. Now, I tell you how Satan works. One of our sisters was telling me, one pastor was sent to prison. They said he raped a church member, assistant pastor. So one of our sisters, of course she meant well, she sent to me, said, Pastor Banky, don't you think this is an attack against the church? I said, which one is the attack against the church? If it's the judge sending him to prison, it is not an attack against the church. You want to know attack against the church? When we pastors start sleeping with members, that is attack against the church. Going to jail is not is deliverance. That's deliverance of the Holy Spirit. I told her, I said, listen, our question should be, Oga, did you do it? He said he did not. All right, if he did not, then we'll pray that the truth will come out. I said, but if you're talking about attack against the church, it's not going to prison as attack against the church. The attack against the church is that we are calling each other. And I'm telling Pastor Okemute, look, any girl you like in the church, that's fringe benefit. It's called truth assembly. Anything you do is truthful. That's attack against his church. His ministry will close, if he believes me. Our kingdom will close after his own, because usually the young prophet dies first. No, go and read your Bible. It's the young prophet that dies first. Those misleading the younger prophets, they live longer. No, their own judgment is coming in front of them. She's not lying to kill this one. That bear go kill the other one, but at least you'll still be there for a long time. That is when it's attack against the church. When we are sitting down and there's nothing wrong. And they come and report. Look at what Pastor Okemute did. I said, leave him. Grace covers it. And I don't say they should go and arrest him, lock him here. Boys, anybody senior to him, bring Koboko. And we flock sense back into his head. They can go back. If we don't do that, then church is under attack. That's when church is under attack. When we start preaching, no matter what you do, grace covers it. The grace of God does not tell you to depart from iniquity. The grace of God says, even if there's iniquity, grace is big. That is attack against the church. That's attack against the church. Because this particular lady, Satan mounted attack against the church. How did he do it? He didn't come with that. That policeman putting her in prison was not attack against the church. It was persecution for the sake of righteousness. You know why? You know the result of it? The man too joined the church. Oh, did I tell you that? The man himself joined the church. After he finished persecuting her, it didn't work. Next time his wife was coming to church, my husband, are you going to come? He came grudgingly, but he came. He sat down and began to open scriptures with the other people. That was not attack. The real attack, her family member said, where is the husband in this village? They said, where is the husband in this village? I'm serious. I said, if you don't have a husband now, you go to hellfire. Let me tell you, this marriage thing, it's paining me, but it's the truth. After Jesus comes back, my wife is now my brethren. He's no longer my wife again. Very painful, but we'll manage it like that. I'm not going to carry husband to eternity. They told the young woman, where is husband in this village? How can you tell somebody, listen, if that husband will not make you preach the gospel, may you never get it. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
If that wife will not help you become a better believer, may you not get her.
Amen.
It is better to be single and Christ-like and to be married and walking out from destiny. That's what happened. They told the young woman, eh? And of course, also the money was small. Your life is not about money. Let me tell you, that was having food and what? Raiment. Be what? Be content. Let me tell you about raiment. Raiment in this generation is very simple. This pastor came with his shirt. Don't you like it? Didn't work. You just go and greet him. Say, man of God, thou shalt not covet your pastor's goods. However, when thou gleanest, my name is Ruth, thou art Boaz. I shall lie at thy feet. I'm coming. You get what I'm trying to say? I said, bro, you don't wear your portion. So raiment is not a big deal. I hope you're getting my point. You know, the problem we have a lot of that is pride. I can't share your revelation with you now. I don't have time. In this life, just have self-confidence. That let God build it in you. One day, my wife was wearing one nice wedding band. Very beautiful. Oh, man, this is very... She said, I bought it for 1,000. You know, my wife not the height. You know, see, I married a good girl. Some of you married Jezebel, fake babes. I didn't marry a fake babe at all. You know, some of you went to Prayer Warrior to marry. I married from drama. So, you see, there's a world of difference. My wife is a very... See, that is... Somebody tell her, say, hey, see, how your ring? My wife said, I bought it for 1,000. You know, when they saw the ring, they didn't see the ring. They saw who was wearing it. Now, so life be. I have clothes that are so expensive, I'm afraid to tell you the price. I have some that are so inexpensive, I'm afraid to tell you the price. And as far as you are concerned, they all look the same. You know why? The same man wearing them all. No, I'm telling you, some of the clothes I wear, if you hear the price, you will run away. Look, some of the Agbadas you guys see me, I don't want to tell you the price. You will think I'm no longer in ministry. That is a blessing. Where I'm going is that, listen, some of the pressures we put ourselves under, they are not necessary. My wife pulled out the ring and told the person, I bought it in 1,000. The fellow was surprised. Why? Because they stole his own set, he and his wife, some thieves. So he wanted to, the one wanted to replace her. Man, he said, no, just enter Ogbete there, 1K, that the day she lost the one she was wearing before, and she had to travel. So she said, I'm a married woman, I shouldn't travel without my wedding band. So just said, I just need one in a hurry. Just went, bought it 1K, put on for hand. 1K or 1.5, put on for hand. Use it to travel all over the world. That was the year she went to China. When she came back, the thing did not fit. Now she continued to wear the thing. She wear her more. Some people say, oh man, I like this your ring. He said, now 1K. Some people say, oh, thank God for it. Amen. Praise God. You want to pretend like it's expensive. She didn't pretend for anybody. What am I telling the story? There's nothing. You know, sometimes we kill ourselves needlessly. They went and met, they told the young woman, what are you doing? What are you doing there? There's no money. They were not paying too well. Of course. She packaged herself, abandoned the work, and the work died. A few years later, God said, that was your work. The work is dead. What are you doing here? And she took ill and died. She didn't outlast the work by more, up to five, more than 5 years. God said no. In case you do not know, you know what killed her? That marriage that they said she must marry was the reason she died. She died as a complication of that marriage. I won't say more than that. No, we just behave as if we are serving a Lord that doesn't care. He said, what did he say? What does it profit a man? Let's read another scripture quickly so I can close. It's the only one we have read all this while. We have not even finished reading it. I'm finished talking about it. Luke chapter 9. It looks like the message I wanted to preach today. The Holy Spirit said, no, this is the one I wanted to preach. Because we have been going on. I'd intended to go into this next week. So let me finish what I was saying last week, but it's turning out like this. I'm not my master. I work for a master. So we have to allow it to flow. Luke chapter 9 from verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus answered that one. The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me to first. Somebody say first.
First.
Permit me to first go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. That is the assignment I have for your life. And I also said, I will follow you, Lord. But first, say first.
First.
First, permit me to go to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, people of God, these are frightening but true statements. I said something last week that now our major problem, we are not pushing hard to enter into the kingdom. We are not pushing hard to enter into the kingdom. We are not pushing hard. We are satisfied with little results. Remember, for time's sake, we're not opening and read it now. There is 60-fold, there's 30-fold, there is 60-fold, there's what? 100-fold. Let me talk about Derek Prince again. Two things I want to say about him. Then I'll begin to round off. Like I said, this morning, I really wish we were at a camp meeting. Because I don't even think I'm halfway through the things I have to say. In fact, I have not even started really the thing I wanted to say today. It's just trying to introduce now we're here. But I have learned not to quench the spirit. Let me tell you two things about Derek Prince. One which I've said here many times before. Derek Prince said at the age of 40, he had no money. Now, let me explain this. He didn't have a dime saved up anywhere. He said, in fact, number two, I had no bank account. He said he didn't have a bank account. Number three, he said I didn't have a house. And most importantly, I had no plans. He said he didn't have a plan. Now, the man was saying, look, the message I heard him talk about something else. He was saying when he was about 70, over 70, and then, as at that time, his voice could be heard by half of the earth's population on a daily basis. Half. Now, we talk about the fact that Kingdom God terrestrially will cover about 3/4 of Nigeria back to back with terrestrial radio right now. And it's like, sounds big. But it's almost half of the globe. Shortwave radio, FM station, medium wave, everything. His voice was everywhere in several languages. First of all, in English, about 5 different Chinese dialects. All right, in Spanish, for all kinds of languages. Most of which he did nothing concerning. He said if God had allowed him to see, he would have said it was not possible. He said the only thing that God said to him, he said, I heard it clearly. He was not raised up with in Pentecostalism like that. He was just trained by God. That's why he listened to his message, discipled in the desert. He learned about the Holy Spirit. Nobody taught him. Just with the scriptures. See, the man said, if God has, the only thing he heard, God said, I have called you as a teacher of the truth. He gave him in righteousness and purity. He gave him some words. I mean, like righteousness, impurity, and holiness, truth. That's what God told him. But by the time the man was going to die, by the age of 88, He shook his world. A man that had no plans. But he now said something. He said, I can assure you of one thing, however. That's when I heard him. I was listening to it again yesterday. So one thing I can assure you of, however, I have given the ministry everything. He said, I took my calling seriously. He said, there are things I don't listen to because they don't make me a better teacher of the word. He said, the people that become successful in anything, they are fully committed to it. He mentioned the ballet. He said, I like ballet. He said, I can call amongst my friends. He mentioned a particular woman, Margot Fonte. That's the name. He said that she's one of the best dancers that ever lived. He said, in this generation, she's about the best as far as I'm concerned. He said, but I can assure you of one thing. I know her. I've known her since she was 16. He said, dancing has consumed her in every way. That affects what she eats. He says, as a ballet dancer, she can't swim because swimming develops a different set of muscles. He was trying to say that, listen, I've given the ministry everything I have. So even though it's grace, like I said last time, see, we have come to a land of what? Promises. Each promise is activated by faith. If God says, I'm going to make you materially rich, and he says it to some people, he didn't say, go and chase money. He says, come, these are things I want you to learn. There's a kind of devotion. So I said, there's a way we walk in the kingdom. We operate by certain precepts.
The precepts of God are the sign that we believe his promises. If you are not walking by his precepts, you are not hoping in his promises. Relationships, you check what who can be my friend, who can be my friend. Why? Because of ministry. I'll give you a simple example at least. I didn't know this, but just common sense. No, it's not common sense. I'm sorry, I withdraw that. The Holy Spirit just put this sense into you. I remember COVID period. I have this classmate who's quite influential. I mean, she works for an international agency. So during that COVID period, she now sent me a private chat. The bank, please, can you help her with something? I said, what? Mention one of these big Nigerian networks. They need somebody to come on air to talk about this and this and this and that. So I promised them I'll get them somebody. Please, will you be willing to do it for me? Of course, COVID, I didn't have to travel. They'll set up, you know, equipment. We'll just stream it and all of that. And then most people like the idea, right? I just replied that nicely. I said, my sister, I only go on air to preach the gospel. I said, look, I'm sorry. I could have done it. But I said, once his voice is on air, it must be preaching. So I'm sorry. And that decision was made the moment we went on Cosmo. You may not remember, but those days I used to go on Cosmo once in a while. I said, everybody's here, I should come and talk to about fever. I know fever now. Look, the amount of fever I know, I can tell you the name of the chemical that causes fever inside your system. I can tell you how it works. I can tell you how to talk. I know everything. Not everything, like in everything, but enough to help the general, you know, Igwe Madu. All right? I know how to help. But the moment we went on air, welcome to the way of success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life, establishing the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message. Those are the few, if you heard it, those are the first few words. Once he went on air, I said, medical, sorry, that has ended. Each time this voice comes on air, they should know what it is saying. And it's not about Plasmodium or Artemisia. No. It has to be about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, how do we succeed with God? We have to give him everything. That's the point I'm making. How do we succeed with God?
You have to give him everything.
Everything. When I say give him everything, I don't mean an offering. I don't mean an offering. I mean you give him your ambition. Sometimes you will give him the chieftaincy title due to your family. Yes. When they tell you, at this age, you should have done this, say, no, I gave that to the Lord. No, I said something last week, please. If you're not around last week, it's not every time I say I preach by the Spirit of God, even though I think I do all the time. But the last 20 minutes I preached last week, go and listen to it. Please beg everybody to listen. I had never, to my recollection, preached that message in my life. I did not even know I knew it, which meant I didn't know it, or which means I did not know it. I preached that message expressly by the inspiration of the Spirit. So please go and listen to it. I beg you. I consider what I'm saying today very important, but not as important. In my own estimate, the Holy Spirit can say something different to you. But in my own estimate, not as important as what I said last week. Especially the last, I think, 20, 25 minutes. When I talked about resurrection. When I talked about two Isaacs in the Bible. When I explained that you put down Isaac, he can't die. The body will die, but that the spirit will not go away. And that when the spirit comes back, the resurrection body is a very funny body. Difficult to identify. Those who knew Jesus, they walked with him, ate with him, listened to him teach for days. He resurrected, he did not recognize him. Please, in that message, I explained, you have to lay your life down. The problem the church has now, the problem Christianity has now, is that we pastors have preached so much that people think that what God is doing is establishing our life on the earth the way it is. So that one man finished preaching one day. I said, is this a church? They said, it looks like a church. My wife said, I've seen the church before. I said, no. You couldn't have seen it. He said, I know where it is. I passed it. Is it Lekki or VI? Somewhere in Lagos. I passed that the other day now. He said, I remember this name. Is this a church in Nigeria? When the man finished preaching, I thought I was in the boardroom of Guaranteed Trust Bank. Yeah, seriously. When he finished speaking a whole hour, and you put this on air, I didn't know it was a church. We have preached to people as if, see, what God is doing is building your business. What God is doing is building your career. What God is doing is building a house. What God is doing everything on the earth. We are not, we are so earthly minded that we don't recognize there's heaven again. There was a time we said we're so heavenly minded we became earthly useless. That thing, I withdraw that statement. God, forgive us for ever uttering it. If you are truly heavenly minded, you will bring down the power of the ages to come to this earth. Jesus was heavenly minded. Did you see his effect on the earth? Paul was heavenly minded. Did you see his effect on the earth? Those who are truly heavenly minded are the ones that affect this earth. The problem we have is that we are so earthly minded, we're not using the power of heaven to establish this earth. And it's not working. It's not supposed to work. For time's sake, let me end this my message here. What have we read here? I want Christians to put their hands on the plow and not look back. If you have decided to serve the Lord, please, you are going to serve him totally. If he takes anything from you, let it go. And listen, there is nothing that was birthed by the Spirit of God he will take from you. If he takes anything, he did not birth it. And you don't want what God did not birth in your life. You don't want it. You know what God is raising? People who are truly committed to him, through whom he can release his power onto this earth. I think I've spoken enough. I shouldn't say more. Even though, look, we still have much more to say. But because I think you are tired of hearing for this morning. You're not hard of hearing. You are not. Just tired. See victory. He wants to swallow his fist. And because he woke up early. Just kidding. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What have we said today? Let me just summarize it. We are going to walk with the Lord. We're not working for our own gain. We are working to establish his kingdom on this earth. Remember, let me just say this one, please. I'm not trying to preach again. Just to connect something we said before. Don't forget, in that land of promises, I've said it today, I just want to reiterate it. There are three things we must know so that we can activate the promises on a daily basis. Let me go over them again. All of them start with Christ, all right? First, we must know Christ as a person. Remember, behold the Lamb of God. You have to behold him. Please don't forget. Read that Colossians chapter 1 from verse 13 to verse 20. 12 to 20 maybe. But you know what I'm saying? That area we chant all the time. Read it. Recite it to yourself regularly. Behold him. Healing power is in beholding Christ Jesus. The power for righteousness is in beholding Christ Jesus. Number two, you behold Christ as the totality of the promises of God. Read what the Bible says. Like now, we are going through physically trying times in this country. What is the Bible saying to you? What's the word of God? It's a very simple one. Psalm 23. Memorize it and believe it. Memorize it and believe it. All the promises of God concerning your life. Know them. And then number three, what's the third thing you learn? The precepts of righteousness. Why? Because you see, every realm in life has rules. See, you can't move to America and expect to be blessed. There are things you do in Nigeria, if you try there, you land in prison. And to you, there are simple things. In Nigeria, they bring a young man from the village to come and stay with you. The villagers are happy, are they not? You bring a young person from Nigeria to come and stay with you in America and help you because your wife just delivered. And they don't see the regular transfer of the money every week or every month. They call it slave labor. Meanwhile, those at home, they are happy that Amaka has gone to America. Chinedu is not in America. They are happy. And he is happy. Except that one day, accidentally, he did something and your wife gave him a slap and he shouted and the neighbor called police because every shout in America will end with police call. So police comes, when they come and then they start investigating the one that does not concern them. A slap you're supposed to investigate. They take the guy to the side and start asking him questions that he does not know will end you in jail. And many people have gone to prison and they are wondering what happened. I told you about a Nigerian footballer. Him, his wife, and his mother landed in jail in France for something like this. What he did was bad though, but in Nigeria, it won't land you in prison. It will land you in family settlement. Why am I telling the whole story? The kingdom we are living in, you must learn the rules. If you want it to bless you, you must learn the rules. There are promises that God has given you. You have been called to a land of promises. Learn the rules. One major rule. Let me add that one as I close. One major rule is you can't worry. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
You can't worry. This one that's going on, what's going on in this country? I don't know what's going on. What's the dollar doing now? Dollar, what is wrong with you? All the blessings are in suspension. Until you go and say, Lord, I don't know dollar. So you are the only one I know. The one that said, Naira has crashed against the dollar. You start doing, God of miracle, now my papa, oh. Say, you can't import now. We don't know what he's doing. My papa, oh. Then you add it, me, I no go so far. Sing it with me. I no go beg for bread. Me, I no go so far. I no go beg for bread. Why? God of miracle, now my papa. God of miracle,
now my papa.
God of miracles,
now my papa.
God of miracles, now my papa. Now listen, you sing that when the shop is not opening because there's nothing inside. Singing it normally when things were booming. It's normal now. But when you are singing this, when things are not working, God said, this guy lives in the kingdom. This is not a kingdom person. As you are singing, somebody now comes, hey, say, what's happening? My son, they rushed me to hospital. They said they want to do operation. They said we have to deposit 250,000 naira. All I have is 150. Ah, you have 150? It's done now because I have 100 here. You give the guy 100. Your wife is looking at you like, honey. You turn to her, God of miracles. Then she will add, nah, my bab. I said, good, you. He said, you just gave our last 100 naira. It's the last one. Let's sing again. Me, I no go so far. I no go beg for bread. God of miracles.
Now my papa.
God of miracles.
Now my papa.
Can you see what we are doing? We are refusing to worry. Now, what I'm telling is the truth. That's when angels get up, say there is work. Angels, they will get up, there's work. There was the work. Didn't you hear them say? They can't beg for bread. They can't beg for food. That's when you know the meaning of God is able to make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things. And you will abound to every good work. Bow down your heads and give the Lord thanks this morning. Just give thanks. Just give the Lord thanks this morning. Say, Lord, thank you. Truth and righteousness. Thank you for truth. Thank you for righteousness. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This is a prayer I want to pray for you this morning. Every jot, every tittle, every bit of God's destiny for your life, you will fulfill in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The day you face the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to say to you, well done. Thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, the strength, let me say something here, I understand. Sometimes people think they come under pressure. We will not discuss that. But the strength to overcome the pressure that makes people disobey the will of God for their lives. Receive it this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The grace, the strength, the power to overcome the distractions for your life, the distractions of life that makes people walk away from, you know, the plan of God, the distractions that make people disobey, the distractions that make people say to God, I will follow you after, the strength to resist those distractions. Receive this morning in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
See, it's coming to you according to the desire of your heart.
Amen.
If you are determined that, God, I don't want to miss any bit, then the strength to resist every bit of distracting temptation will come to you. Receive it now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As you are found in the place of your appointment, receive abundant supplies.
Amen.
Strength to obey. When I say strength now, physical strength, healing to stand in God's will for your life. Receive it now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Again, I feel like saying to you, don't worry about past mistakes. That is why our God is merciful.
Yes, sir.
See, God doesn't punish people, though, unless they prove to be stubborn. A lot of people don't know that. It is stubbornness he cannot stand. What is stubbornness? Now they have corrected you. Some people are just angry. How can you say that? Why? Because they have invested in a wrong thing. Like Bishop Oyedepo will say those days, what is the use of speed when you are traveling on the wrong road? No matter how good my car is, no matter how good a driver I am, if I'm supposed to be going to Abakiliki, but I decide I'm facing Port Harcourt, speed will only take me away from the will of God. So no matter what you have invested wrongly. Don't worry about it. It's when you insist, instead of giving it up to the Lord, like we said last time, that is when you activate the wrath of God. That is when the intercession of Christ Jesus and of the brethren is taken away from the judgment throne of God concerning you. And you don't want that. I said to you earlier, if it is done for 5 seconds, you will go mental. You don't want it. But my emphasis at this point is that forgiveness is your portion.
Amen.
You have been forgiven.
Amen.
You have received forgiveness.
Amen.
Look, that spirit of stubbornness, in agreement, we break it in your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, God said concerning Jacob, I will not leave you until I fulfill all the promises I made. May the Lord not leave you.
Amen.
He will not leave you.
Amen.
He will carry you. He will discipline you. He will turn you. He will bless you. He will do everything he has to do. But every word he has spoken concerning your life will be fulfilled.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we bless our nation, Nigeria.
Amen.
Nigeria, we are the people of God. We call you blessed.
Amen.
Please, I know there's a risk now. I may preach another message, but let me fall for it. The problem with Nigeria, my wife said it yesterday, was it this morning, that the people don't love it. Please, don't be amongst those who don't love the land that God has given you. Now, for those who love it, who will claim it for the Lord, prosper in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Possess the land in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I want to release words for angels to use concerning you. Doors be open for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Doors of blessing be open for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He said, there's none like the God of Israel who rise the heavens to your help and to the skies in his majesty. He said, the eternal God is your dwelling place and underneath you are the everlasting arms that carry people. He has driven out, now these are words that angels will use for you. He has driven out the enemy from before you. He said, let destruction overtake them. Now listen to this. Say, but you, and that's my prophetic word, you will dwell in safety.
Amen.
You will dwell in a land of grain and new wine.
Amen.
And the heaven over you will drop down dew.
Amen.
Listen, the heaven over you will drop down dew.
Amen.
God will give you abundance of rain in its season.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In all that you do, you will prosper.
Amen.
I command prosperity upon your household.
Amen.
Remember what we've been saying again and again on Tuesday. We are not going to revise our desire down because of economic hardship. We will instead elevate or raise our God higher for all to see.
Amen.
Receive the power of God supplying all your needs in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There are people listening to me. It is now that they will build a house.
Yes.
They say, see, please, don't slow down. Don't say cement is so. No. Whatever be the price of cement for the day, pay and continue work.
Amen.
God will supply.
Amen.
That's not advice. It's a word of instruction from heaven. God says, don't worry, I will supply you cement.
Amen.
I will supply you steel rods.
Amen.
I will supply you everything you need to get the job done.
Amen.
See, don't worry about the economy. Where you needed 5 million before, which I will have supplied, now we'll give you 15 million and you will accomplish the same thing.
Amen.
And more.
Amen.
Please, I hope you are listening to me.
Yes, sir.
Say amen to activate that in your life.
Amen.
Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Say it again.
I receive it.
Say, it is mine.
I receive it.
Say it is mine.
It is mine.
Say it is mine.
It is mine.
The power of God.
The power of God.
It is mine.
It is mine.
The provision of God.
The provision of God.
It is mine.
It is mine.
The healing of God.
The healing of God.
It is mine.
It is mine.
The water from heaven.
The water from heaven.
To water my earth.
To water my earth.
It is mine.
It is mine.
Say it in all that I do.
In all that I do.
I prosper.
I prosper.
Say this is my year.
This is my year.
Of peace.
Of peace.
And fruitfulness.
And fruitfulness.
Now let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now be a good brother and sister. Bless three people around you. Two to go.